Hi, everybody, and welcome to the February 25th edition of Dead Pit Radio. I am the Creepy Kentuckian.
And I'm Uncle Bill. Hi.
I'm Jessica.
Jessica's here again. She said she quit, but she's back.
She said she's home.
That's the thing, folks. You never listen to Jessica, aside from when she does the mailbag.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I quit every week.
That'll be returned a little bit later on. And did we ever really decide what we're doing for the show this week?
Not really.
So,
but as so many people, as one person has mentioned to us, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. We're not prepared.
We're unprofessional.
Our show is not worth the price people pay for it.
It's true.
So, you know what? Here's what we should do. In the middle part, we'll just have ourselves a good old-fashioned bullshit session or something like that. We talk about all kinds of random shit. People like that anyway.
That's true.
We should probably have a little bit of bullshit session before we get started because there's a few. I mean, I know that I was showing you something that a particular person posted on Facebook, and there's no way to really avoid negativity on the internet anyway.
No, so. Because we are probably... Not probably. We are definitely the most controversial show,
indeed,
of any of the horror shows out there, and there's really no way to avoid pissing people off at some stage or another. But here's the thing. And I'll say this too: people come, people go. They always do that. There's been so many people that have come through, listened to our show for a while, and someone got pissed off at us or something that we've said, and then there's been a big email party for some. They've emailed about it on Facebook. Those guys are fucking assholes. Shit. And then they leave. Or something else happens. We get sued or something like that.
We get threatened to get sued.
But there will always be new people. There's more new people coming in now than there are old people going out. And that's a fact. And you look at the message board and you can see that right now.
That's right.
There's always new people coming in because this is the best show that has to do with this topic. I don't give a shit. There is no other show.
It's the best thing going today.
There isn't.
Well, I think the thing is, too, is my God, I don't even know how you could calculate how many goddamn hours of fucking ranting and bullshit we've had over the years. I mean, think about it. We've been doing this show over 5 years. We've been doing a midweek show for 4.5 years. A lot of the times the early shows lasted over an hour and a half for those motherfuckers. So we were talking probably about, I don't know, thousands of hours, I'm betting, of us ranting and raving, which is...
I think people just absolutely forget from time to time that all of this is free and that we do all this just because we kind of want to do it.
Yeah.
And none of it... I mean, if you're doing something on your own time for free, then why would anybody be bitching about it? Well, it doesn't make any sense. It's not like you're paying for it, or it's not even like we're forcing you to listen to it or anything. Why would you have such an issue with something that...
Well, and there's not a lot of people that bitch about it, but the people that do seem to bitch about it seem to be putting, these long-ass mass emails and crusades of just hatred towards us out there. Like, I don't know if, you had a dream that me and Uncle Bill peed in your cornflakes, and then you're like, oh, I'm going to get them back now. I'm going to get them back now.
But the guy in particular who... was at one time or another a fan of the show, I guess. I do actually remember the guy vaguely. Said that, the quality of the shows had gone down there for a while. And, you and I were kind of discussing this, and I think I know what era he's talking about. It was the era where we didn't have interviews. And let me say this. People know this that have listened to the show for a long time. There was a period there where we didn't have a lot of interviews, and it was just you and I doing different series of shows and things like that. It never changed how many people listened to the show. In fact, sometimes just you and I doing the show was actually more popular than when we had an interview on. So interviews, I guess, give us some sort of form of credibility, but they don't really do anything for the show itself. There's not any fewer people listen to it or anything like that. Plus, we've done over, I'd say at this point it has to be 110, somewhere along that line, interviews.
I don't even know. I mean, we...
Who are we going to interview now?
Well, I mean, there's people that want us to interview, guys like H.G. Lewis, and I don't want to, blast the guy or anything, but I'm just not a big fan of his movies. I mean, I don't know about you.
Right.
I don't think you're that big.
No.
Of And I don't think we would do a good interview with H.G. Lewis just because I've only seen his like two or three of his movies. Why would I want to interview somebody that I don't really care about to interview? I mean,
and let's pick it apart this way too. Okay, the other shows that are out there that actually have access to interviews also have like magazines that do advertising for the movies and stuff. So they have access to get people like the Sam Raimis and people like that if they want to, because they know that they're going to end up in the magazine. That's going to be free press and all this other stuff. We don't have a fucking magazine. If you come on this show, you're coming on this show just because you want to come on the show. There's no other motive to come on it.
Yeah, and you know, that leads to something else that we could talk about too. It involves the Rondo Awards, which we've been nominated for the third year in a row for the horror audio category. And, you know what? I feel, and honestly, like in a couple of aspects, we were probably pretty damn mean to at least one guy that, that was accepting an award last year. But I think that we gave a 100% fair review of that award ceremony last year. Had we even been there and won an award, I think we would have gave the same, pretty much the same review. So a year later, almost a year later, we are nominated again, and we are blasted in the description as having no respect at all or something like that.
Yeah.
And this is coming from, like, to me, and I like the Rue Morgue Radio guys. I have no problem with those guys. But for the exact reason you just stated, they shouldn't be in that category. You know, they should be because that's a more of a mainstream deal. I think that only... You know, they have access, they have promotion beyond what we could get, what we could afford. I mean, we could buy promotion in a magazine. We could buy a full-page ad in Rue Morgue magazine, which they're giving every month, would be like $800, you know. And, in a lot of ways, and they won last year or last couple of years or something like that, and that's fine. I don't really give, I mean, whatever, you know. But I just think, like, there's a lot of the times people don't realize, I mean, just how easy it is for them compared to us. I mean, like, I think we were talking to Stuart Andrews the last time we had him on the show, just how many people they can get within a one-week period of just coming up there and visiting the offices, you know, for an interview.
Well, they come in and out.
They come to those guys, you know.
I mean, meanwhile, if we want anybody, we have to really track them down. We have to talk to, like, agents and managers. And I don't know if you've ever talked to agents or managers, anybody listening to this show, but it's probably one of my least favorite things in the fucking world to do anyway. Mm-hmm. So it's not like it's an easy thing to get guests on the show. And as far as the Rondo stuff goes, though, like, if you even know what a Rondo Award is, you probably are not a fan of our show anyway, because you're probably... Late 50s, that's early true. 60s. So
well, we do have some interesting ideas for Rondos this year, and we might talk about them a little bit, you know, later on down the road.
Yeah. But going back to the point about the interviews and stuff, too, it's just, you or I, either one, do not have the amount of time to devote to trying to get interviews like we once did either. And... even if we did have that amount of time to devote, the people that you would, you being listening to the show, would want to, like, hear us do interviews with, we'd never be able to get anyway. It'd be like Sam Raimi, okay, Toby Hooper, Wes Craven, Bruce Campbell. These people are not going to do interviews with us. It's not going to happen.
Toby Hooper, we've got direct contact to Toby Hooper. Motherfucker will not answer an email, never does. Like, we had somebody talk to him at a convention. It's like, oh, I remember I remember their emails. Just tell them to email me again. I'll get back to them. We email them again. No, motherfucker. You don't get back to shit. So that guy's not going to do an interview. You know, and I've heard stories that he won't even do interviews for DVDs unless he's fucking paid to do them. So, you know, that's not going to happen. Bruce Campbell.
I don't know how many times.
Unless we want to talk about Burn Notice, that motherfucker ain't going to talk to us. And I have no interest in talking to Bruce Campbell about Burn Notice.
I've never seen an episode of Burn Notice. So I don't know.
You know. So, Yeah. Who else was on the list of people?
Oh, Wes Craven. I mean, Wes Craven.
We're going to try for Wes Craven again, but I don't know if that'll happen or not.
It's a slim possibility because of Scream 4, but I seriously doubt it. And then the other people are just ridiculous. People want to interview like Stephen King. That ain't never going to happen.
Stephen King will be interviewed by anybody.
So who does that leave, really? I mean, you've got some, you know, moderately famous directors and actors and stuff like
and
that.
And we could always get people back on the show. I mean, that's been on before.
I always hate the idea of doing that, though. Just because when we do an interview with somebody, I mean, we do the whole friggin' career, like from the time they started all the way up to the last thing that they did.
Yeah.
And it's just pull somebody in and talk about, like, one project or something. The interview just doesn't really go that well. We've tried it with, like, DDP and a couple other people. I just didn't like the way that it turned out.
We didn't get DDP back on.
No, but we only talked to him about, like, we tried to talk to him about wrestling, then talked to him about,
yeah,
you know, Driftwood or whatever the time.
But in actuality, like, people, there's always going to be people complaining. I know a lot of people aren't like that, but it's a shame that we have to ruin, like, a good portion of the show talking about, you know, a couple particular assholes.
Well, it doesn't really ruin it to me. It's just to let people know that we do constantly deal with stuff like that, with people saying stuff like that. I just think it's such a stupid thing to spend that much time criticizing a free horror show, you know?
Well, I mean, it's the internet. That's the thing. People are going to criticize whatever. It's just how it goes.
I think more so than any other show, though, we get criticized, which is odd. Like
that's
any other
we're the
like,
best.
Horror show.
Let's pat ourselves on the back like Barry Horowitz.
Yeah,
I mean, I think it pisses people off, too, that we were the first ones to ever do this. We're in fucking Eastern Kentucky.
I saw
it. We have gotten interviews that we got John Carpenter interview that a lot of big websites have never been able to get, you know, a lot of major websites. We've gotten other interviews. We've been the first to find a lot of these guys for interviews. As far as I know, we were the ones that pretty much found Junior, you know, from Friday Five, and he started doing conventions right after that.
Paul Ehlers too.
Paul Ehlers, you know, and I'm to be honest with you, I'm more proud of that stuff of getting these guys like the recognition and, you know, in a lot of ways, like people are like, oh yeah, who gives a fuck about Junior? But you know, at the same time, looking at all the people that was really interviewed in Crystal Lake Memories, that guy wasn't interviewed. They couldn't find his ass. We found his ass. I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and we've always done stuff like that too, which is why it's weird that we get a lot of the comments and stuff that we get. The one that seems to be going around the most right now, though, is all this. We'll take each one of these like one by one, I guess. The guy mentioned racist that people think we're racist. I don't think that we're going to ever be able to get over that anyway, just because of where we're at and our accents and stuff. It doesn't matter. Like, if we were donating to the NAACP, people would still think we were racist. So there's really no point in arguing with that. I don't think
that's true.
So
we're
then
just
you got
main racist.
And you got homophobic, which was started by. I think we know who that was started by.
Yeah.
And I don't even.
That's the pot calling the kettle black right there.
It really is, yeah. I don't know. I think it's because we say sometimes that people are gay or things are gay or something like that. But in the context of what we're talking about, we don't mean that they're having sex.
Yeah.
It means it's fucking gay. Like it's stupid or like.
That's just how we do it. And I know city folk and Jess is probably, she probably thinks the same thing that it's homophobic. But if you look at either of our CD collections, if we were homophobic, I don't think we would own Judas Priest CDs. I don't think either of us would have like Elton John CDs or, Uncle Bill over there has got Kenny G collection. You know, there's like,
what? I stole George Michael CDs.
George Michael CDs.
I want to like just say this on here so people can have like a record of me saying this. I honestly could give a shit less about who anybody fucks. I don't give a shit who you fuck
at all. You've eaten my ass on a regular basis for the past 5 years.
I mean,
does that make us homophobic?
That is the least thing on my mind at any given fucking day is who's having, like, if you're a homosexual having sex with a man or another woman or something. I swear to God, I don't give a fuck. If you're fucking a beaver or a dog or a goat or anything, I don't give a shit. I'm not ever thinking about that at all.
Fucking a beaver does sound pretty good, though.
I'm talking about a real beaver. Like, do you remember when people would say things, oh, that's gay, meaning that it was stupid? That was like in the late 90s or something that they started saying that. I think it just kept. People still say it. And it just doesn't mean that when you say something that it's gay, doesn't mean that you think that it's...
Yeah, but evidently, like, the world has changed so much, especially in, like, I guess, bigger cities and stuff. People just fucking, if they hear something like that, they just automatically assume.
And I think people think what they want to think about us anyway, just because we're, like, the accents and where we're at and stuff. It's just easier to dismiss it, like, that we are all those things, that we're racist and homophobic and all that stuff because of where we're at. It fits with, like, their mindset of what it's like down here, but it's got one big problem, which is that it's not really fucking true. It's just a bunch of shit that somebody made up and then a bunch of people believed. Like that's the Holocaust.
True. Yeah.
Oh, shit.
I'm just kidding. Now, it's a fucking joke.
That's what gets us in trouble every goddamn time as well, is a lack of any kind of sense of humor. These motherfuckers, oh my God, I would hate to walk around all goddamn day and be such as dry as a goddamn cracker, a actual saltine cracker.
Right.
You know, not to, I don't want to explain things to people.
Racist against their own gene.
And just go through life being just a straight moron, you know. And no, I mean like, just, no.
A full-blooded moron.
It's just, people, I just don't see how you can go through your life being so serious and uptight, is what I mean, you know.
People do it, though, all the time. And they're mostly, the weird part is, most of them are liberals. They're mostly like us. They're like Democrats, but they have this thing where they get behind all these causes and shit, and that eats up like a vast majority of their time. So I think they go looking for like reasons to bitch about stuff like that. So then in come us. And then we're completely different from anything that they're used to, which scares the shit out of them anyway. So they just latch on to the whole racist, homophobic, all that stuff.
Yeah. And yeah, like I said, most of the time the stuff that gets us in trouble comes from, and we've seen them at core conventions. There are a lot of them. You know, they would rather listen to the doom and gloom, 100% horror. The radio host is like, on this episode, we're going to be talking about the Toltec picture of brutality. It's going to be bloody and evil and violent. With death metal playing in the background and shit like that, that is what gets them off because they dry. They ain't got no fucking sense of humor. They're idiots, in my opinion. Okay? I never wanted to do a show like that. To me, regardless what the topic is, what we're talking about, and we were talking about earlier, like a lot of people bitching about the format change, well, we're going to say fuck a format change, pretty much. I mean, we're going to talk about what we want to talk about. If there's non-horror news, we'll talk about it, but, you know,
I mean, we've pretty much been exactly the same since the show started. I think that if you've been listening to the show, then you know what we do and, like, how what we talk about and how we talk and stuff like that. I just can't believe that people are in an uproar at this point. You know,
it's just the latest. I mean, I didn't say people.
Just one person ever do.
The thing, like, we have to, and we've explained it over and over and over and over and over and over again, but it does no good. So I don't know why we're doing it.
I don't either, but it's just fun to make fun of people that actually think that way.
Yeah, so go back to listening to death metal and finger fuck yourself.
Into oblivion. So this is a horror show. We should probably actually talk about some horror.
Actually, we should probably take a break now. We've been talking for fucking 18, almost 19 minutes. Well, so we're going to take a break.
Let's do that then. I got to go do some racist and homophobic activities real quick.
Yeah, I'm going to go read Mein Kampf. I'm about finished with it.
Yeah.
And we will be back after this break here on DeadBeard.com.
We're Rondo Ward losers.
No.
You know what, Uncle Bill?
Shut your fucking mouth right now.
No. I want to talk about Fast Custom Shirts.
Holy shit. Well, let's talk about it.
FastCustomShirts.com provides some of the best horror t-shirts I have ever fucking seen.
I don't think that you can really fully appreciate how awesome the t-shirts are over at FastCustomShirts.com until you go over to FastCustomShirts.com and look for yourself.
Yeah. The Hitman T-Shirt Joe. Mm-hmm. The highest quality of shirts that I've actually designed some of, Uncle Bill. He actually lets the fans design some of the shirts for his site. Who else does that? Who else?
Nobody I know of. But when he's not busy playing with Carmen Opsy, he's busy cranking out some of the most high-quality fucking shirts that you're going to find this side of any other damn whore t-shirt maker.
Yeah. So check him out. FastCustomShirts.com. The best there is.
The best there was.
And the best there ever will be.
It's a boot respect. And welcome back to the program.
Welcome back. We got more horror news. Well, we didn't get any horror news.
We're actually going to try to start the show at this point, though. So if you stayed in with us for this long.
Thank you.
Thank you a lot.
Thank you. And tell everybody we're not racist or homophobic.
Spread the word.
Or unprofessional. We're unprofessional,
we are
too.
Unprofessional as hell, yeah, though.
I'll admit to that.
All right. So let's talk about Zombieland 2. Woody Harrelson spoke to Total Film, which is another website I have never heard about. About a sequel to Zombieland. This is the script is once again written by Rhett Reese and Paul Wernick. Ruben Fleischer may return to direct, but he's busy with other projects at the moment. So what did old Woody have to say? He says, I'm sure it will happen if everyone does it, but I'm not sure it's the right thing to do. It's one thing to do it when it came out real good and it made a lot of people laugh, but then to do a sequel, 99 out of 100 are worse by a lot. So I don't know. He says, also, I don't feel like a sequels guy. Has he ever done a sequel? Come to think of it, like, has he ever been involved in a sequel?
White Men Can't Jump Again.
I was thinking the same thing. Yeah. I was thinking, was there a sequel to White Men Can't Jump?
I don't think he has.
He hadn't been in that many movies anyway, though. He was more like a Cheers guy.
He's been in, okay, you had Natural Born Killers, White Man Can't Jump,
People versus Larry Flint.
He was in, what was that? No Country for Old Men.
Yeah.
He was in Kingpin.
Kingpin.
That
was
killer.
He's been in a few
best movies.
No, I don't think he's ever.
Zombieland 2, though, like, I think they waited too long already. That should have been one of those deals they released it like a year after the first one came out.
I think it's better if they just leave it alone.
Just true. Walk away.
Just walk away.
Yeah.
Something else they should definitely leave alone, but they're not going to. The Crow. They're going to remake it.
Aw.
Yay.
Juan Carlos Quesadilla. It's just meant for comedy, folks.
We kind of like preface everything by saying that.
28 weeks later, fame. Is the latest name linked to potential director for the long-struggling remake at Relativity Media. Reports our good buddies at Fangoria. They like us. Fresnadillo has already taken meetings with Relativity over the project, though the company has also been talking to Javier Guitarez. This latest attempt at bringing the resurrected gothic vengeful hero back from the big screen follows on its seeming demise from last year when Mark Wahlberg passed on the role, while Stephen Norrington walked away for creative differences as the director. It says Nick Cave of Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds. Hmm. Also did work on the script.
You have no idea how glad I am, though, that movie never got made with Mark Wahlberg as a fucking Crow. Imagine how awful that would be.
Say hello to your
if you're going to get a Wahlberg, at least get Donnie.
That's
Jesus
right.
Christ.
It's clear that Donnie is the most talented one of all the Wahlberg. No, but that would have been awful anyway. I swear, we never talked about this before, but Mark Wahlberg drives me fucking insane. He's one of the worst actors of like this generation. Somehow or another, he still gets in every movie.
What sucks is he's one of the best musicians ever in the 90s.
I know. Feel the Vibrations. Yeah, that was fucking.
Yeah, why don't he return to that? Marky Mark, where's the Funky Bunch? Bring them back.
I was never a New Kids on the Block fan.
Bullshit.
I never really was. I remember
well,
when
you gotta
that
think
was,
she was probably like two when New
I
Kids
was,
on the Block.
I remember I was in like the third or fourth grade when that was real popular.
Bullshit.
No, I was in the third or fourth grade.
We were in like the fourth grade when it was popular. There's no way.
No, because I remember remember I was in, like, we had a cafeteria in our elementary school, and they were talking about New Kids on
what
the Block.
What year was that when you were in the third grade?
I don't know how old you are when you're in
you're
the
like
third.
You're like eight, aren't you?
You're like eight or nine.
Yeah.
I was like, so no, that would have like
been
nine.
That would have been the mid-fucking 90s. It'd
been 94 or something when you would have
no,
been.
The New Kids on the Block, that was like from 88 to like 90, 91,
well,
that
then,
era.
Might have been, I mean, I can see that when you're
maybe
in
when
kindergarten.
Maybe when they're in KOTB phase or something, when they were trying to get more like of a grunge feel. Do you remember
it,
that?
Yeah. Did it make your women parts tingle, though?
See, I don't remember New Kids on the Block that much.
It must have been when you were in, like, kindergarten or first grade, maybe.
So who was, like, the big thing, it thing to come along when you were in school that you really remember?
That I was really into?
Like, latching on to, yeah, one of those, like, trend.
Hillary Duff.
No, that was when I was older. I think there was the Backstreet Boys and NSYNC.
Oh, yeah.
And the Spice Girls.
Oh. So tell me why.
I remember all the Backstreet Boys songs and everything. I really do.
Backstreet Boys songs?
What was funny
yeah.
is I was
I don't
the,
remember any of them,
thank God. I remember the first, like, two albums or something.
Who was the guy, like, that had the reality show afterwards and stuff that sort of made the Backstreet Boys, that producer? Man, he looked like one of the creepiest son of a bitches ever.
Who I don't know.
And his specialty was fucking boy bands. Like, I can't remember the guy's name.
Oh. Didn't he have a relationship with one of the guys in NSYNC?
He may have.
Because one of them is gay in NSYNC, though.
You can't say that.
No offense to
any
gay people.
No offense to anybody.
I know. One of them is homosexual.
That's perfectly fine, Jessica. There's no issues at all with that.
I don't remember who the guy was, though, that created him or whatever.
Yeah, musical acts, like, I think the worst time for music, and Nirvana really kick-started it, in my opinion, was when you went away from the technical music playing and just got into the Tim Shepherd vocals.
I think right now is actually the worst time for music, to be honest.
Yeah, there's a lot of hip-hop stuff.
Because there's nothing I like to listen to now. At least then there was
aside
like,
from Justin Bieber.
Well, yeah, aside from that. Because it doesn't seem like anybody, there's not even any real niches for people. Like, rock and roll
music's fucking dead.
All
like,
that
there's
stuff
nothing.
Just is like,
all the skater kids are coming back out. There's a lot of skater boys around here.
Thanks to Tony Hawk, you piece of shit.
No, I remember that.
No offense to Tony Hawk.
It's been like 6 or 7 years, and then they all of a sudden surfaced again. That has to do some kind of music thing.
I guess. Like, fucking.
I'm all the way from M-Spankers.
The stuff that is really popular is stuff that's connected to, like, shows or movies and stuff like Hannah Montana and Miley Cyrus' dumb ass and then Justin Bieber and all that crap.
Wonder how long it'll be before Miley Cyrus does her first porn. Like, they know when their career's over when they actually release, like, a homemade porn or something. That seems to be the big thing now.
That's actually when they try to, like, restart their career.
They're like, oh, I'm okay, it's releasing this. I'm blowing some dude.
I'm blowing you. Okay. Echo Bridge and Dimension have reached a new Blu-ray agreement. According to the Hollywood Reporter, Miramax has entered into a domestic distribution agreement to have Echo Bridge distribute 251 of its titles on DVD and Blu-ray.
Blu-ray diff.
The films include selected titles from such franchises as Halloween, Hellraiser, and Children of the Corn. Echo Bridge Chairman and President Michael Rosenblatt said they're excited about adding these titles to their library because many have tremendous star power and are cult classics.
I'm definitely interested in getting Children of the Corn 4, Fields of Terror, in there.
But it tells us to look for more on what's coming and when soon. Cause they
you
don't
imagine
know.
That, though, the Children of the Corn sequels and Blu-ray?
Oh, God. They probably will put them out in, like, a big two-pack kind of deal.
Well, the good thing is, since Echo Bridge is, like, releasing them, they'll be, like, $4.
I always remember Echo Bridge's shit as being, like, the lowest quality stuff imaginable, though. Like, they're...
It is. Well, I mean, the...
Blu-ray.
Well... The Mega Piranha, that was Echo Bridge. That looked good.
That
it looks really good,
good.
Yeah. It's just that they're just
I think their Blu-rays cheap. Are just really cheap, you know. Yeah. I don't know why they're so much more cheaper, but yeah. If you go on like any of the websites, they always have the cheapest, like they're like $4 or something. Who knows if these will be that cheap. I doubt it. They'll probably raise the price on these. They'll be like, oh, these are movies people might actually want. So, we'll have to wait and see with that. MGM announced last week, though, that their first post-bankruptcy projects will be remakes of RoboCop and Poltergeist.
Aww.
Woo!
So let's get all excited. I'll tell you what, for casting for Poltergeist, I definitely wouldn't want to be Carol Ann.
I wouldn't want to be. Oh, yeah.
Like, that's not, that's a bad omen right there.
You're dead.
I can't remember her name, but the sister.
Yeah, the one that got murdered.
Yeah.
Dominic Dunn, I think.
Yeah, her husband or boyfriend, didn't he beat her to death?
He strangled her.
That was actually before the first Poltergeist was released, too.
And
that happened.
Yeah, that movie does have a really, really bad omen. As far as RoboCop, though, I can only imagine what that's going to look like.
Well,
it'll probably be
RoboCop.
Fucking like Iron Man style CG and stuff in it instead of like a regular suit.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the thing about RoboCop is like a movie like RoboCop, they don't make movies like that nowadays. I mean,
not with the violence.
Yeah.
Going back and watching that movie, the unrated cut of that movie.
That was awesome.
That's one of the most violent movies I've ever seen, I think.
Well, the weird thing is RoboCop, remember they had fucking action figures for RoboCop? Yeah. That was like, back in the day, that was sort of like a movie you took your kids to fucking see.
I went to see it at the theater. I remember that. My mother was like so pissed off because it was so violent. It was hilarious.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know you're not going to, I mean, they may have some good visual effects and special effects and stuff in RoboCop, but you're not going to have your violent goodness that we're all used to, you know.
No, it's not going to be the same.
Are you going to rate it PG-13?
Yeah.
You're going to have a Will Smith's kid in it somehow or another.
Yeah, Will Smith's kid will be in it. Will Smith will be RoboCop.
Yeah, Will Smith's kid will be his partner.
And we're not saying this to be racist,
it'll
either. We just don't like Will
Downey
Smith.
Robert Downey Jr. It's going to be RoboCop.
It'll be somebody.
Mark Wahlberg.
I can see Mark Wahlberg in that role. But, yeah. I'm not really looking forward to either one of those movies, to be honest. Let's see. I am looking forward to this one, though. Chrome Skull, Laid to Rest 2 from Anchor Bay Image Entertainment has announced that it will distribute Robert Hall's sequel to Laid to Rest 2. Anchor Bay released the first one in 2009. The sequel picks up 3 months after the end of the first film, with Tommy, who's struggling with vivid memories of his first encounter with the mass killer, and he has been abducted by Brian Austin Green. Holy shit.
Where the fuck they find him at?
Who harbors a mysterious connection to Chrome Skull. Meanwhile, the technologically savvy slasher, he videotapes his victims as killing them, has set his sights on Jess. Oh, shit.
Jess.
Oh, well, look out,
no.
Jess.
Oh, no.
And after the young girl disappears, Detective King races against time to find her and Tommy before it's too late and try to put an end to Chrome Skull's blood-soaked legacy. Whoa!
Yeah.
Ryan Austin Green is married to somebody really, really famous, though.
Yeah.
Who is it?
It's
somebody you'd never think, either.
Fucking, God damn it, what's her name? That was in Jennifer's Body.
Megan Fox.
Yeah,
Megan Fox. That's right.
Whoa.
You didn't know that?
No.
She's like 14, 15 years younger than him or something.
It's such a weird couple. It's amazing that that's lasted as long.
I didn't even know Megan.
But he must have
married.
Like a horse dick or something. God damn. Like, what's weird is too, like I'd heard, somebody was telling me that they had been dating for a long damn time too, since she became legal, I think.
Wow.
Like 18.
I think that they were engaged and then they called it off. Didn't they call it off, like the marriage, and then they got married again? Obviously they got married. But I thought that.
I don't even know if they're married. I thought they were married.
Yeah, I think they are married now. They're definitely at least engaged. I don't know that. But, yeah, that's a lucky man right there. Well, I don't know. I heard she can be a real bitch, but.
Yeah.
Lucky for at least 5 minutes every once in a while. If that. Probably not even 5 minutes.
The rest of the time, he's miserable, though.
He probably looks at her titties and he's like, ah. Shit. It's a good looking woman, at least. She's kind of a bitch, but
she's voluptuous.
She's bipolar. I heard that she's bipolar.
Well, most women are.
Yeah.
Shut up.
She did steal a bunch of stuff. I remember like Adam Beck telling us that story. She stole a bunch of stuff from Walmart or something in Florida one time.
She stole some Summer's Eve.
They're
like, my cooter stinking.
I think that she one time related herself to Marilyn Monroe, that she said that she was on the lines of Marilyn Monroe, and that she felt suicidal or something.
She really is an awful actress, though. I hope she knows that.
But she's really pretty. I thought she did a good job in Jennifer's Body.
Yeah, she did do a pretty good
job.
Like,
she's okay in that, but in all those Transformers movies and stuff, it's just like.
Well, I don't think anybody's supposed to be good in those.
What else has she ever been in?
All the way
Jonah Hex. Imagine how shitty that is.
It was pretty shitty. I watched part of it.
Anyway, last thing I got on here is about Rob Zombie's Lords of Salem.
Oh.
He's currently on his UK tour, and Mr. Zombie spoke to The List recently and gave them an update on his next film, which he'll be directing for the Paranormal Activity team. He says, I want to start pre-production in March. Hopefully I'll shoot it around June, and that's the next movie. He says, as far as the next musical project, he's doing a musical project. Oh, God. He says, I'm not sure. I'd like to get another album out early next year and hit the road again on another full tour. He goes on to add, Lords of Salem is an original idea. It's a new thing. It's something that I've been working on. I grew up in Massachusetts, so the Salem Witch Trials was something that figured in big as a kid. Even as a kid, they'd take you to the Witch Museum. He says, and that might have something to do with the things that I like. It's based on historical fact about the Salem Witch Trials and their modern-day repercussions. So the film takes place in modern times, but it's a witch movie. So we'll have to wait and see. I'm actually intrigued by this, I gotta say.
Be interesting to see what he does on like a original film instead of a remake or sequel to a remake or something like that. Yeah, I give him a lot of credit though. The last movie that he did before the last two pieces of shit was actually really good. So
talk about Devil's Rejects.
Yeah. I guess three pieces of
shit.
Which
that's been fucking like, God damn, that's hard to believe. It's been like 6 years ago.
Yeah.
We old, Aaron.
I'm old.
I was sitting there thinking about him, though, coming up with a new musical project. That can't be a hard thing for him. He just sits down and he's like writing down, okay, so you get five, like, you get the five, yeah, in here, and then one of these, I'm like, oh, give me that, and then over here, and then, oh.
Hey, you want me to do the, here, we'll do a Rob Zombie, let's write a Rob Zombie song right now. I'll do all the music for all the Rob Zombie, and you do the vocals. Somebody wanna get down, There you go.
Yeah.
You could use that, Mr. Zombie, if you want to. So, anyway, that is it for the news. We do have some new Blu-rays and DVDs.
We do, and that includes the following releases. You've got, oh shit, the Bambi 2-disc.
That's gonna be mine, baby.
Diamond Edition Blu-ray, DVD combo, holy lord.
They shouldn't have killed Bambi in that movie, that made me cry.
You got the Cable Guy on Blu-ray, I haven't seen that movie since it came out, probably. WWE's Royal Rumble 2011, which I still think was a really good Royal Rumble, no matter what anybody says.
Yeah, buddy.
Daughters of Darkness on Blu-ray from, I guess that's Blue Underground, isn't it?
Yeah. We've got that. I don't know if we reviewed or not.
And Faster, which is Dwayne Johnson's star.
I actually heard that was a pretty good movie.
On Blu-ray and DVD.
Blu-ray and DVD.
There's your releases, though, for next two to enjoy.
So, we're going to take another break, and when we come back, we're going to do something. I don't know. We haven't really decided.
No. But it'll be a secret until this break's over with.
Do you want to know a secret?
I know you do.
Yeah, well, Lawrence does. Here on DeadBurl.com.
The Fog and Phantasm. Two terrorific hits together to grab you. Phantasm. If it doesn't kill you this time, you've been dead too long. And from the creator of Halloween, John Carpenter's The Fog. Lock your windows. Bolt your doors. There's something in the fog. The Fog and Phantasm. No one can escape from now. Rated R.
Howdy, folks, and welcome back to Dead Pit, Creep Kentucky, and y'all.
Uncle Bial.
I'm Jessica.
You're here too, Jessica. Oh, golly. Jess is mad because she's hungry, Uncle Bial. You should feed her more.
Yeah, I know.
But we did have a little bit of a heart-to-heart during the break and decided instead of bullshitting for 30 minutes or whatever, we were going to talk about the upcoming convention season, which convention season is starting in like about a week or two. and thought it'd be good to mention a lot of these shows that are coming. Some of these we'll be going to, some of them not. And all of them, I got to give them credit. I think about every one of them that we're going to mention on here has been really creative with their guest lineup. And I'm very impressed with this. And we'll talk about some convention experiences as well with some of these guests that we may have met before.
I don't normally go to this site anymore, but like horrordvds.com has got a big thread about convention people that you've met at conventions, and they go through and talk about like good experiences and bad experiences.
Yeah.
And if you go to a convention, you will have good experiences and bad experiences. There's just no way to get around it. There'll be people that
you want to talk to. If you keep going to them, you'll definitely have.
Yeah. So, you know, as we start this, give you like personal feedback about people we've met at these shows. And also with these shows too, though, if we didn't list your convention or whatever and somebody's listening to the show, I mean, we apologize. We couldn't do all of them. Like, there's,
I think we've got a pretty good majority.
Yeah, these are the major conventions that are around this area, I guess.
Yeah, there's going to be a few maybe later in the year that we just don't have info on right now. Like, I know Scarefest is one that they don't really have any guest lineup up yet, and that show's in September, and that's always a fun show.
Yeah. There's ones in Canada, too. Like, I know Rue Morgue's got one, but...
Yeah, there's so many.
Yeah.
You know, is the thing. And, but yeah, let's go ahead and dive right into them. You got a list over there of some of the upcoming shows, and, we'll discuss them as we move along.
Yeah, the one that's probably coming up the soonest for everybody will be definitely Monster Mania, which always puts on an amazing show as far as guest lists go. We've never been because it's in New Jersey, and we can't get to New Jersey without getting murdered.
Easily.
Yeah. So on March 11th through the 13th is when Monster Mania is coming up, and you've got the big guest, the big like reveal that nobody's ever gotten before is Nick Castle, who was the first Michael Myers, the real Michael Myers, who was the Shape throughout the course of the film. Mm-hmm. And he went on to have a pretty decent career as a director, too. He directed like several movies that you probably remember. I think one of them was... The Boy Who Could Fly.
Yeah,
he directed Last Starfighter.
And Dennis the Menace, the live-action movie.
Yeah. So he's had some actually pretty big Hollywood movies.
I think he actually wrote Hook.
That's right.
Helped write it or something like that. That's a big moneymaker because that was a Spielberg movie.
Mm-hmm. But this is the very first convention he's ever done. He's always been really hesitant to
shows. And from what I understand, this is... could very well be the first and the last, because it's one of those situations where they had to lay down the big bucks for his ass. I mean, you know, in a lot of ways that people were thinking, well, he was just Michael Myers. But you got to think, I mean, this guy, just the residuals he gets on some of these movies, he probably don't have to do much anymore, you know?
Yeah.
And the residuals on Connor's War, we didn't mention that.
Yeah.
That was one he directed.
Connor's
That's
War.
That's lighting up the fucking Big Lots aisle.
That movie's been there for like 5 years, I think.
It's got Tyrese Gibson in it.
But that's the big one. And then the other big one, I guess the co-headliner, who I would shit to meet too, is Ace Frehley. So,
Last I've heard, though, he was a real douchebag.
He probably is. I mean, he's got more money than God at this point.
Like, he refused to sign somebody's guitar for no less than like $500 or something he wanted to sign. You give me $500.
But he was one of the members of KISS. If they had, like, if they could ever get him and Peter Criss together, that'd be awesome.
I think Peter Criss does the shows, but I don't know if they ever got them together. I don't know how well they like each other.
But I heard that they used to be, or they were supposed to be, the two closest members of the band. Like, there was Paul and Gene, and then Ace and Peter were, like, really close, too.
But you got to think, I'd say these guys, you know, traveling together so long, they've got to fucking hate each other.
I hate you, Peter Criss. Shut up.
I mean, goddamn 30 years or something, whatever it was.
So the other ones that are there, though, at Monster Mania, those are the two main headliners, I guess. And then you've got, like, Melinda Clark from Return of the Living Dead 3 is going to be there. And you've got a Last Starfighter reunion, because I guess Nick Castle is going to be there. And I think they're doing, what was the other thing? They were doing some sort of little mini Night of the Demons reunion.
Yeah, they have Night of the Demons reunion. Jill Terashita, who had some of the best... boobies known to man back in the day.
Yeah. And they got like the other members, like the lesser known cast members of that movie, I guess.
Yeah.
But that's Monster Mania, though. That's
Monster Mania is, I think Monster Mania has the reputation of being the best convention, like as far as horror conventions go.
Yeah, it's always got amazing guest lists and stuff.
So
The one that would
be... That's in New Jersey, though. Do we say that?
Yeah, it's in, what's it called? Cherry Hill, yeah. New Jersey.
Monstermania.net.
The one that would be the closest one after that is one we're going to be at, actually.
We're going to be there.
Horror Hound Weekend in Indianapolis.
And we've been to this show. This will be the third indie show that we've been to, this one coming up. And it's always a fun show. I love the hotel and just the atmosphere of the show. They've had some trouble, though, with the guest lineup. As, you know, you'll see a lot of shows, you know, one or two guests. There's nothing they can do. I mean, they usually cancel out, something like that. Unfortunately, it was Dario
Argento.
The biggest
guest they had, yeah. So the one that I was most looking forward to meeting, too, was Dario Argento, and he canceled. And as of right now, though, the show's it's taking place March the 25th in Indianapolis. And the guests include Barbara Steele, who a lot of people remember from Black Sunday, which is the big Bava.
Yeah, she's been in a bunch of stuff, though.
And then House by the Cemetery Reunion, which I'm actually kind of excited about because I actually kind of like that movie more now than I think a lot of people do. Especially the creepy kid factor in it.
Yeah.
Which all the creepy kids are going to be there.
I want to see if that one kid's lips look the same.
They got the little mini Gates of Hell City Living Dead reunion as well.
Yeah.
You're going to have Catriona McCall, and I don't even want to attempt to pronounce that guy's name, but I think he played the character Jerry in the movie. He was like the lead that was with the other blonde chick. I can't remember her name.
Yeah, me either. But they've also do something called the Slasher Fest thing, which is really cool, where they try to get different people from 80s slasher films. They got the Prowler guy coming. They got the Terror Train guy, the Funhouse guy. All the people that were the slashers in those movies are coming, too.
Yeah. And the Killer Clowns.
Yeah.
The Killer Clown thing
and
going on.
And I think
on.
There's like another big announcement that they haven't made yet for a guest, too, that we can't really talk about at this point.
I think people, it's definitely on the want list. For a lot of people, though, I'll say that people have been asking for this particular person.
And they're the show that has the Mask Fest, which is probably what I'm looking forward to more so.
You're
going to
buy you a mask?
Well, we have to buy a mask. I mean, we're going to be at the damn Mask Fest. You got to buy a mask.
What would be one, like, that would be ideal that you would want this year?
I've seen a couple that were, like, amazing, but I think that she wanted the Pennywise mask, so we'll probably end up buying that one in somewhere.
Yeah. It doesn't matter what she wants, though. What do you want?
Well, he wants it, too.
Well, I mean, it really doesn't matter to me that much. The some of the Jason bus, I'd like to have, like, one of those that they've got down there from, like, Part 4. They've got a really – the same studio we bought the ones from last year's got a really cool Part 4.
And that guy definitely had the best prices, I think,
of
all the mask folk.
They had a really cool mask that they're raffling off. It was American Werewolf in London. I don't know whose that was.
Yeah, that was more like a big bus thing, wasn't it?
Yeah, but it was awesome.
Well, I guess we should mention, though, that last year that was your first convention, wasn't it? The Horror Hound Show.
Yeah, it sure was.
What was your thoughts, like, as far as, like, did it live up to the expectations as far as the convention itself?
It was bigger than what I thought it was going to be. I didn't know it was going to be that big. And I guess I heard that was probably one of the biggest ones that they had.
Yeah.
And
well, I'm sure that
shows
was the,
I've ever been to. I mean,
that was the biggest one they've ever had, I'm pretty sure.
It was so fun. Because I was there and I didn't really know a lot of people. I didn't know any of you guys' friends and stuff. And everybody's really nice. And just everybody around me. And I was kind of nervous at first, but everybody was really friendly. I liked it a lot. And I really liked that Mask Fest. And then the after parties are really fun that they have. But it was beyond what I ever thought it was going to be. And I love going now that I really don't like to miss. I know we had to miss one in November.
Yeah.
And that was rough because I just remember how fun it was.
And
they
we actually called
Sunday.
You too, I think.
Yeah, you guys did. You guys did. You called us.
Yeah, that was like, I know they're going to do that. The plan was for Horror Hound was to originally do a show in June. I don't think that's going to happen, but they're going to do the other one in Cincy in November. I don't know what the idea is. I mean, I've got a little bit of a clue, but I don't want to say, of course. I'm getting in trouble. But, yeah, those Horror Hound shows are always a lot of fun. And like I said, I love the hotel for the indie show, too. It's just laid out really well. And I think they're going to have the entire hotel this time. They don't have to share it
with
anyone.
Yeah, thank God.
They shared last year with the VFW guys. Mm-hmm.
Which was a big mess, really.
It was really... I like seeing a lot of the old people going around and talking shit about all of us. All those kids and their horror stuff. It just cracks me up.
Well, I can imagine, like, yeah.
But some of them were partying with us. It was great.
Yeah, they were talking about, like, it's Halloween. Yeah, it's Halloween in here. It's Halloween. Pretend like it's Halloween, you dumbasses.
I can imagine, I'm sure, if you're going somewhere for some weekend for something else and you see all this shit, you're like, because you know how big of a mess that was as far as just the crowd goes.
Okay, so the next one coming up would be April 8th, which is Texas Frightmare Weekend, which is in, where is it at in Texas? Do you remember?
I think it's Dallas-Fort Worth area. Yeah.
So this is April 8th weekend, though, and they've got some huge, big-name guests, too. They got Corman, Clive Barker, and Robert Englund, as well as, like, a Saw reunion with Carrie Elwes, Shawnee Smith, Costas
Mandalay Bay.
Mandalay Bay. The guy, I can give a shit less about that guy, but or any of those movies after part one, but they've got a really good group of headliners there.
Wait, who was that guy?
He's the detective that's in all, like, the last four or five.
Since part four.
That guy?
Yeah, that guy.
I can't wait to make Constant Mandalay Bay.
Oh.
Yeah. Of course, that'll probably be popular, though. I mean.
Well, that show, from what I hear, is awesome. And the guy that puts it on is Lloyd Cryer. He's always been really cool with us and really cool with
Yeah, and Dead Pit will have a table there.
Oh, we have a table there? Yeah. Yeah, and... I mean, it really is the only Texas convention that matters at this point.
Yeah, I mean, at some point, it would be pretty cool to go, because they give us a table every year, but we're never there. It's always Jay and Ray.
Yeah, Texas would be a flight, though. There's just no way in hell you could, like, or I couldn't anyway.
Unless we did, like, a Dead Pit tour for a couple of weeks and did,
drive,
like, two of them.
9 hours. Well, I'd have to drive 9 hours. That'd just be halfway there, and then somebody else would have to drive 9 hours. It's an 18-hour car drive.
I would.
Oh, I'm fine.
Yeah, I've always heard really good things about this show. I mean, last year, they were the very first to do John Carpenter. So, I mean, sort of like, where do you go from there? I mean, there's no way to really top that. But they always have, like, a quality lineup, and the promoter's a really nice guy. And definitely we'll have some new stuff for the Dead Pit booth for everybody over in that part of the country. I mean, we'll have the new Dead Pit Season 3 on the roads and stuff like that. You'll be able to get that shit.
Yeah, I really do respect that convention, though, because we've never had anything but good reports come out of there and a good relationship with that guy. So that's Texas Frightmare. Well,
there's another show in Texas, though, that we should talk about.
No, nah, ain't no sense talking about it.
Well, we should definitely talk about it, because the guest list is really amazing.
Is it?
Yeah.
Who's going to be? What is it, first of all? Who's going to be
it's there? It's the Fear Fest in Texas, the big Camp Blood show.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can go on the website and see all the guests. It's just amazing. Go txfearfest.com and check out that lineup. It's insane.
So I forgot about this one, though, and we really can't leave this one out. April 1st is the start of Cinema Wasteland.
Indeed.
The next Cinema Wasteland show in Strongville, Ohio, I believe.
Yeah, another show that we have a really good relationship with the promoter and...
Yeah, he's always been fantastic.
He's always been a great guy.
They're big. They're more like exploitation, cult movie convention than any of the rest of these. And their big thing this year is a Cannibal Holocaust reunion with Ruggiero Deodato, the director, Robert Kerman,
Francesca.
Yeah, Francesca Ciardo. And then they've got other people like from Last House on the Left.
Yeah, I think they've got a total of like four or five people from Cannibal Holocaust.
Yeah, it's probably the most complete Cannibal Holocaust reunion ever if you're interested.
Hey, I mean, that's pretty cool. I think that's a pretty cool lineup, to be honest with you. I mean, if it works for them, and if they can bring four or five new people in every year and have the same 10, 15 other people, all the better for him, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And the show, you know, a lot of people that go to the show, they love going to the show. They say it's a lot of fun, so it's in Strongville, Ohio.
Bound to be off the chain. That's where you'll meet, like, a lot of people from the Northeast Quadrant. I've noticed, like, all the people from Pittsburgh and around, like, New York and places like that, for some reason, end up going to Cinema Wasteland.
Well, I'll give them credit. I mean, the lineup, they do have guests that really nobody else gets. I mean, I don't know if they'd be successful in any other shows. It's mainly why. Seems like that crowd is really into the exploitation, the low-budget sleaze stuff from the 70s and early 80s. And that's mainly what they do with those shows, who they get.
Yeah, but check it out. It's the like, supposedly the party show to go to. And to round out April, that's three major conventions in April. So you've got to round it out.
A bit of time.
The 29th through, I guess, the 1st will be Chiller, which is the huge Chiller Theater Expo. Just mostly like, not just related to horror, but they're all celebrity, like of television and movies, cult movies and things like that. They get the most diverse group of people and probably the biggest overall convention of any show going today, I'd say.
And they do have a little reunion. I'd love to give you a little hint of it. What will we do, baby, without us? What will we do, baby, without us?
But yeah, it's the it's a Family Ties reunion with Meredith Baxter Burney.
That's true.
And Michael Gross.
That's it. Why don't I get any others?
I don't know. They've also got a really awesome Willy Wonka reunion this year with all the kids that were in Willy Wonka. And I think that's all of them.
Yeah.
Including the main kid and
Veruca.
And Veruca Salt. Yeah.
Was it Timmy? Was it Tommy?
The one that was
the TV boy?
I think so, yeah.
Something like that.
And there's the Charlie, who's the main kid, and then the Blueberry Girl. I don't remember her name.
Violet,
yeah.
Violet, you're turning Violet.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a weird reunion. Nobody's ever done that before either.
No.
That'd be kind of cool.
You need to get Gene Wilder's ass to do it. He doesn't do anything else.
He don't need to.
You got Ernest Borgnine. It's going to be there.
God damn.
Which, that guy's got to be,
I know he's in his 90s. I know he is.
And the Italian Invasion 4 with Lamberto Bava and Claudio Simonetti among the guests, yeah, too.
They also have, like, just, they got Dean Stockwell's going to be there, Lonnie
they've
Anderson.
They've got, like, 100 major guests.
Yeah,
really.
They've got guests, like, that nobody else gets. I don't know how they, I mean, they've been doing that show longer than anybody else. I know that. And the guy, I don't know if he still listens, but the guy that promotes Chiller Theater was a fan of our show for a while. I mean, he might have caught on to our racism and homophobic
tendencies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not listening anymore. But yeah, for a while he was really messaging me and stuff. Really cool guy. Kevin Clement, I think is the guy's name.
Yeah. So go check out Chiller Theater if you have, like, I would pick that show over, like, all the rest of them if I had an opportunity to go to any one show in the Northeast, especially.
I'd probably pick Monster Mania, show in particular.
Okay, so up next, though, we kind of have a connection with this guy, too, that's running this show. July the 1st will be the next one. You've got the Days of the Dead convention.
The very first Days of the Dead show in Indianapolis.
And this is new, I guess, not really new. It's a new convention, but the guy that put it on has actually put on like other shows and things like
that.
Yeah,
I mean, he'd done a couple of shows that have never happened for whatever reason. I mean, he did the Festival of Fiends shows. There were two of them that never happened. Then he was a part of, but I don't know, I don't think he was a part of it when it actually occurred, was the Famous Monsters show.
Right.
And all those shows were scheduled for Indianapolis, and this one is scheduled for Indianapolis as well. But this one, I believe this one's going to happen. I mean, they're really hyping this up to be something big, and they've got a really solid guest lineup. I got to put it over.
Yeah, and you've got, and this lady doesn't do any other conventions that I know of either. Zoe Bell from Death Proof, and she's been a stunt woman in like 1,000 films. I think you and I'd really like to meet her, though.
I want to meet her. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think she played in that movie, The Gamer. I think she's trying to bust into acting.
The Gamer. What the hell was that?
Gamer. With Michael, was it Dexter, wasn't he in there?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You actually watched that?
Well, no, when I watched it, I remember seeing her in it. That's what I remember. The reason why I watched it was because of Michael C. Hall. And he was pretty much the only reason why that movie was good.
I heard he was awful in it, though.
I thought he was pretty good. Well, he did some kind of ventriloquist dance or something. He did some kind of dance. It was pretty cool.
Well, this is not a film debate. We're just talking about this convention.
We're just right talking about. I'm sorry. Jesus.
Jesus tap dancing crowd.
Well, Zoe Bell was in that. I remember that.
Zoe.
What about this? What about Gary Busey? He's going to be there. What do you think about the that? Buse. Gary Busey. Edward Furlong. You loved Edward Furlong, especially now.
Oh, I had such a crush on him in Terminator 2 when I was a kid.
Now he looks like a homeless wino.
Now he's much more attractive.
God. Well, she was attracted to him when he looked like he was 12.
Because I was probably
that makes
12.
Sense.
I knew it was coming.
That really does make yeah sense now. I mean,
yeah,
think about it.
He's such an ass.
You got Roddy Piper, though. He's going to be there. Mark Price, who's one that I shit my pants when I saw that. Because
yeah,
a lot of people don't remember Mark Price was in Trick or Treat, but he was
some
also
bitch
Skippy.
That's right.
Which is, yeah.
You could complete your family, add kinda on to your family ties, memorabilia.
Monica Keen is going to be there. They got a lot of really good guests.
They got the Indian Lynn Allen, baby. That's what I'm talking about. They got a lot of people, yeah. The Derek Mears is going to be there, who we had on the show a couple weeks ago. Andrew Bernarski, best leather face ever.
He's going to be there snorting coke, beating up women, and whatever else he does.
He's going to threaten some women, yeah, guaranteed.
But that is Days of the Dead.
Yeah,
which is
that's another one
dish
in Indianapolis. Now, that's the thing, man. Like, I'm in fear that there are just too many goddamn shows in this area.
Well, there are too many shows.
That it would really make sense. I wouldn't go to the show, but I think a great area to have a convention would be somewhere like North Carolina. Because how many fuckers do we know that come up from North Carolina to these Kentucky shows? There's a lot of them.
Oh, yeah. Like Charlotte, or maybe? I'd say
yeah,
Charlotte's like
somewhere
the
like that.
Yeah.
Or, you know, even if you wanted to have it somewhere in, they don't have any in Atlanta. It's weird, you know.
I'm afraid too many people get capped. And Atlanta is a big-ass city, too, from what I understand. It'd be hard to find where you were going.
Yeah. You know, Whorehound did try to have a convention in Detroit.
Yeah.
But people were scared to come up there, so they had to cancel it.
They should be.
Whatever. It's not that bad.
No, it's lovely up there. Okay.
In the gold ticket package at the Detroit show, they were going to give you a bulletproof vest.
You will not get shot. I lived in Michigan
yeah,
my entire life.
Yeah, all
BIPs,
like a Tech 9 and a bulletproof vest.
Yeah,
I lived in
works
Michigan my entire life, and I've never been shot.
Yet.
Just, I don't live in Michigan
time
anymore.
It was a matter of time, though. If you hadn't got out, you'd been shot
yeah,
dead.
Yeah, if I hadn't got out,
that's
I'd probably
she
be
wanted
shot
to leave some badly.
Okay, so our home base, I would call our home convention, though, will be coming up in that same month, though, of July. July the 22nd through the 24th, you've got the Fright Night Film Fest, which is also added on, the Fandom Fest, which is trying to be more like Chiller Theater, I guess, in that it's not all horror-related. It's more like celebrity in general-related.
Yeah, I actually think that's a good move because the problem is, like, not every show is going to be like a cinema wasteland where they have the benefit of just getting, like, a lot of people that nobody give a fuck about and be successful in doing it. I don't think you can do that in Louisville. Adding the, you know, all genres to this Fandom Fest, which, you know, they've added Henry Winkler is the big one, which I think is bizarre that he would do a show. And Revenge of the Nerds reunion is just a couple of them they've added so far to that. I think that's a smart move.
Yeah, me too. I mean, the big one for me especially, and like I never thought I'd get to meet this guy, so I was amazed. Is John Carpenter. I mean,
yeah,
that's the...
Yeah, for the Fright Night side, that's definitely yeah the guest of honor for sure. And, yeah, that'll be really cool because, I don't know. It's not so much that I want to get him to sign something.
Just want
to
meet
yeah
the guy.
Yeah, and get like a photo with him and shit.
I just want to meet him and like see what he's like and talk to him and just be in his fucking presence. I mean, he probably more so than anybody directed the most movies that I really, really love.
I'm thinking about bringing him an Xbox game.
He'd probably love you, and we'll bring him some weed, and he'll just be set. He won't even leave the house.
Jess wants to toke one with him.
He probably will be up there. I wonder, though, I'm just curious what he'll be like, though, because I've seen videos of people that have met him, and then you hear different stories, so we'll
see. I'm thinking I might actually bring my original Halloween one sheet.
About have to, because that's a once-in-a-lifetime thing. We'll probably never get to meet that guy.
And then maybe if I just get it signed by him, I can get it custom framed, yeah. Put it up forever.
Okay, so that's the Fright Night Film Festival. And like with a lot of these conventions that are coming out later on, there'll be more guests added as it goes. But these are like the main ones that are added right now. The only other one left, though, is not until September, and that's the big Skurfest convention in Lexington, Kentucky.
Yeah, we don't really know the lineup on that. And the same thing with the Horror Hound in Cincinnati, which was an awesome show. I really enjoyed that show, too. It's another great hotel. It's just the only problem with that hotel is the convention area is cut up a whole lot. Like, they're in different rooms and stuff, but it was still a really fun time.
Oh, yeah. That's September the 23rd through the 25th, and I really like that show a lot, too. And I really like the promoter, Jeff, that puts it on as well.
Yeah.
So now, though, that's the conventions. We promised people that we would talk bullshit about, like, people we had met, too, so we need to do that as well. Like, overly good or overly bad experiences, I guess, at this point.
Yeah, I mean, most of the time at these shows, you're not going to have that big of a problem. But there's always going to be that exception. I mean, most of the people realize, hey, I'm sitting on my ass writing my name and getting paid $20 a piece, you know. I am happy, you know. But every once in a while, I don't know if these people, some of these, I don't even know if you want to call them celebrities, some of these actors or actresses, just sort of get an ego about it and like seem to think that they're entitled to treat people like shit, you know, or just be a douchebag. And occasionally you run into those people too.
So let's start with the good though, I guess. Like the overly good experiences that we've had meeting people over the years. We've been to, I don't know how many conventions we've been to now. It has to be closed in on 10. I mean.
Yeah. We've been to a lot.
Yeah. So overly good experiences. Jess, you've been to how many now? Three?
Three or four.
I think we've been to way more than 10 though, actually, because it seems like last year. How many fucking conventions did we even go to last year? We went to like...
We went to...
Horror Hound.
Dark Woods. Dark Woods. Let me see. Dark Woods, Horror Hound.
Wonderfest.
Five,
Fright Night, Scarefest, and then I went to Horror Hound since. Yeah, it was six for me just last year.
Yeah. So, yeah, you're probably right, but...
We've probably been to like 15 or so.
The ones that you've been to, though, Jess, pick out the ones that you actually had the best experiences with.
Meeting people?
Yeah.
I remember meeting John Amplis. That was pretty cool. He was really nice. And I know that Wes, that was a bummer for you, though, because he signed his name.
Oh, yeah.
Or he signed something he was signing something wrong.
I don't know what he was going to put below it. It looked like he put, like, Dr. Tongue or something under it. Ah, that's no big deal. He signed, like, a... Dawn of the Dead posters. I got a bunch of people to sign. It's a reprint poster. And he gave me like a Creepshow poster and signed it for free. So it was cool.
Yeah, he was really nice though. Let's see. Who else was really cool? George Merrill. I met him a couple of times. I met him at Horror Hound and then I met him at Scarefest. And when we got a picture with him, he stood up for us, which is really cool.
Always like a really nice guy. I mean, yeah. I've met him twice. I mean, I've actually gone up to him twice now. I've probably met him at three.
We've seen him at like
shows.
Two or three. Yeah.
But he was great too. Was there anybody from Scarefest show other than
Scarefest?
Or the Horror Hound show? I'm sorry.
An indie. Shit.
You didn't really meet a lot of people.
Yeah,
did you?
I met Ari Lehman. He was really nice. And Ken Forey, he was really nice. But then Tom Savini, that was a really bad experience.
Which is weird, too, because you had a similar experience to mine, is that you kind of, like, idolized
Savini. I love Tom
More
Savini.
More so than
What's
anybody
funny
else.
About fucking Tom Savini is, though, and especially, like, because he's not doing a whole lot of shows anymore, it seems like people just don't listen to us at all. Like, even people like...
I didn't know, though. I didn't know he was a complete ass.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Like, nobody, for some reason, they still want to meet him and shit. Because it happened to us, I don't know how many times we used to take call-ins, where people would fucking call in and say, well, Buddy, we met Tom Savini. He was just such a big, he was such an asshole.
He's, I mean, you go on any of the message boards, he's got a universally bad reputation at these shows. If you want to meet him, you probably do it at your own risk. If I could go back in time and, like, just have it in my mind, like, how I thought, you know, it would be and not go through the actual meeting, I would completely not do it. I would not go up
there. Well, you actually made him again, though. I mean, we finally felt
he
almost fell on me. I remember we were walking out of the Mass Fest, and someone accidentally tripped him, which was pretty funny. And he tripped, and he almost hit me. And I feel like if he would have hit me, I would have done something. Yeah, I'm like, oh, ooh.
Get out of my motherfucker.
Sid Haig. I met Sid Haig. He was really nice at Horror Hound.
Sid Haig.
Sid Haig. Haggith.
Haggith. Yeah, he was really nice, and I put a picture up on Facebook of that, and so many people commented on that. They're like, oh, he was really nice.
Sid Haig, though, golly, he's like just one of the most perverted motherfuckers. Like, he really is that character in a lot of ways. Like, I don't know if that's much of a role for him.
He's like, I don't care where he goes, though. Just based on that role of Captain Spaulding, he's always got, like, a huge line.
Nobody gives a rat's ass about the other shit he did.
No, not really.
Yeah, well, because I remember, after that, my mom was watching some of those exploitation movies, and she really got into something like that, and she was like, oh, Sid Haig's in this. And I'm like, really? I didn't know that. So, I mean, I didn't know that.
I don't know if people really knew, like, his roles before that much. I mean, you had to be pretty much one of those fans of, like, blaxploitation movies or something.
At this point, though, there's been, like, a ton of good experiences I've had, and I think they outweigh the bad experiences by a lot, really. Like, I've met a lot more really, really cool people than I have shitty ones, but the ones that stick out in my mind, though, as being the best are Romero's always awesome, and Danny Trejo was just amazing when we met him, and all that went on with that. Universally, the people from Day of the Dead are all really, really nice. Like, all the people that I've met have been really, really cool with that.
Yeah, Jarlath Conroy looked like he didn't know where he was at, though.
Which is weird, because he actually showed up in True Grit. He's got, like, a pretty decent-sized role in the True Grit remake. Yeah.
Now, that was a cool reunion they had last year, because those guys don't do conventions that much.
Yeah.
Him and Terry Alexander, you don't see them too often.
That was a really, really cool reunion.
And I got to say, like, I think all of the experiences I had at the Whorehound Cincy show, I don't know if I talked to you about it that much. Like, there were a few of the horror, I don't even know if you would consider them big celebrities or not, but they were fucking hilarious, like, after the show was over, just out hanging out, drinking with the fans and stuff. And I don't remember this at all, but I was told that the guy, Jonathan Breck from the Jeepers Creepers movie, that I got him in, like, a collar and elbow tie-up in the lobby or something.
I'd give anything to have up.
And I thought, I thought Rob had actually had footage of that, but evidently he didn't take or something. And then the guy that played Damien in the Omen movies, Harvey Stevens, I think, just hilarious. I mean, I could listen to that guy. He's got one of those funny voices, those English, like, I don't know, I can't describe it. But it is hilarious to listen to him, you know, talk and stuff. And then Jennifer Rubin, like, I think I met her when she was pretty lit.
Sloshed. Yeah, probably.
And she was really cool, signed my stuff for free. And, you know, we talked about getting her on the show, but I don't know a way to directly contact her.
I could probably find a way, because I know who I think her agent is.
Yeah, she was really up for doing an interview. I mean... So
we
could
definitely
get
that
her.
One. Also, all the people, with the exception of Tom Savini from Friday the 13th, were always really cool.
Yeah.
You got, like, Betsy Palmer, Adrian King, Ari Lehman, Victor Miller.
Adrian King actually came up to us before we came up to her, because she'd remembered we were the first ones to do the interview with her in, like, 15 years or something like that when we interviewed her.
You know, it might be the fact that we actually help these guys out a lot, but guys like Kevin Tenney and Paul Ehlers and stuff like that were always, like, the nicest people to us. And I've never really seen them be, like, anything but nice to other
people. Kevin Tenney's super cool, too, like, because we, you know, had breakfast. We basically hung out with him the entire day, the day he was at Fright Night a few years ago, and, you know, breakfast and dinner, and he hung out at the Dead Pit table the whole day.
Yeah, he did. And
it was really cool.
If you ever want to meet anybody that's just, like, incredibly energetic and hyper and, like, up for anything, Tiffany Shepis has got to be
Yeah.
Like one of the most.
Jess will get the first Shep experience.
It really is like walking into a fucking tornado or something. Like you don't know what the hell happens after you leave. Because she does so much shit at one time.
It'll be crazy because I think Jim Bett's going to be there too.
Ah, Lord. We're not getting out of there alive. I guarantee it.
And Indy, of course, Tiffany's added to the Indianapolis Whorehound too. And she's just, I don't know how the hell she does it for one thing. Like, she is completely like partying her ass off.
Yeah.
Until, like, me and you, we went to bed like 4 o'clock in the morning and she was still out there talking with people. And stuff, and got up, was up, didn't look like anything affected her at all.
Hmm. I'm sure she's used to it, though.
8 o'clock in the morning, you know, up at it. It's crazy.
It must give her a rush, because I know that when people are partying like that, and you're having a lot of fun, and you're being around a lot of people, that you get kind of a rush from doing it. So she might party a lot on those weekends, and she's used to it.
Oh, I'm sure she's used to it.
I like it. I like it. I think it's fun.
I do too. Like,
I have a hard time sleeping when I drink. I have a really hard time.
It's almost impossible.
Sleeping.
You didn't have a hard time sleeping the last time. you were fucking out of it.
Yeah, for New Year's, you mean?
Oh no, yeah, New Year's. That was a different story. New Year's, that was a different story.
No, but it's like you just sort of like get the energy from somewhere at these shows because you don't. But by that Sunday, you're almost fucking dead.
I never, ever in my life will forget that. I think it was the Whorehound show that Sunday after we'd, you know, gone through the absinthe and stuff. Just fucking, that was the worst I think I've ever felt for a whole day. I just, for a whole fucking day, felt like I was being beaten to death or something. It was just miserable.
It took me days to recover from that.
Yeah.
Like
you have like a little light hangover for about 3 or 4 days.
Yeah, it's weird. You get into this really weird fog or haze. That shit's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll say, you know.
But, okay, so they're
going to be more of it, baby, in Indiana.
I've only ever really had 3 notably bad experiences at conventions that I can think of right off the top of my head. Tom Savini, of course, is like, the first time I met him was just miserable experience for everybody involved, I think. Lloyd Kaufman, like,
he's coming back, too. You get to meet him again.
I'll never go up to that guy again. If you notice, I never even mention Troma anymore.
Well, you should probably briefly talk about what happened again, because somebody's going to ask about it anyway.
Well, it was one of those deals where I don't know if he was just overly concentrating on something else that was going on, but I went up to him, had a poster for him to sign. I walk up to him. I'm like, hey, would you care to sign this poster? There's nobody around him, okay, at this time. Would you mind signing this poster for me? He, first of all, didn't really acknowledge, like, that I'd even brought anything up to him to sign. He just kind of, like, shook his head a little bit, and, like, he turned around immediately and started talking to this woman and started, like, introducing her to all these other people, like, these other fans that were around and stuff. Meanwhile, I'm just standing back there. Like, for probably, it had to be at least 5 or 10 minutes that I was just standing there. And he's talking to all these other people. Would not acknowledge that I was standing there. Up to the point where I was just like, I'm not fucking standing here anymore. I just, like, walked off. And that was it.
I just remember the way he did his setup at that show was just a fucking mess. Because, like, a lot of people actually stand behind their tables. He was standing in front of it with, like, 4 or 5 fucking dumbasses. Like Tromets or whatever.
Yeah.
With him. So you couldn't even get by that area because there's also like 2 or 3 other people wanting to get his autograph or buy shit or whatever. He didn't seem like a major douche.
I just don't seem like to me in that instance, there was nothing genuine about the guy. He seemed like a carnival barker or something, just trying to like draw attention to himself. But there's no genuine really wanting to connect with anybody or talk to anybody or sign anything. It was just, he was filming all the shit for something to do with Troma, I'm sure. That whole thing just really aggravated me after it was over with. So I'll never, ever go up to him or anybody else associated with
him. Yep, so who was the other big one?
Well, there was those two. Who the hell was the other one I was thinking of?
Tom Atkins.
Yeah, yeah. And this is a weird one, though, because Jess and I met him at the Fright Night show, and that was awesome, and it was miserable at that fucking show as far as, like, the temperature and stuff, but he couldn't have been any nicer. Like, he, you know, remembered our names and came back and talked to us. He actually borrowed like the thing that I used to pack my luggage to pack his luggage and like brought it back and was really like appreciative and all that stuff. Fast forward to the Whorehound show, or was it Whorehound? No, it wasn't.
Yeah. Scarefest.
Yeah.
We made He's it actually going to be at Whorehound again.
It was like a complete 360, like a completely different person, really. I mean, I didn't go up to him. I was in line to go up to him.
Yeah, you were like behind me.
I saw like how he was acting towards you, and I was like, I am not fucking going to like do this today. I'm not paying this guy.
Well, he was like, act like that. The whole thing was he was just acting like he was some sort of big deal or something.
Yeah, he was sitting there very smug, and his arms were awful. Crossed, yeah. And he never smiled. I noticed I was talking to a friend of mine, and he said that he was miserable when he met him. He said it was really, he was cranky. You know, he didn't have anything to drink. Because I know I get cranky when I don't have any
alcohol. Well, it's no joke, though. When we met him, he was drinking. Like, it was like Sunday morning, but he was already drinking. So, that might have had something to do
That's
with it.
That's probably it, actually. Yeah, and I'd heard something that somebody told me, like, he had a falling out with Chris Rowe or something like that, his manager or whatever. That's not an excuse to me. I mean, that's bullshit. You know, you don't take it out on people that are actually fucking coming up to you and, like, you know, want to meet you and stuff.
He'd be an asshole to even, like, even later in the day. Like, the next day or stuff. But it just kept going on.
Well, the thing that got me is whenever we introduce ourselves, we normally bring up the show and stuff. And that's just, like, if there's somebody there that we really like and want to have an interview with, we'll say, we're part of this, and if you want to do this, contact us and all that stuff. Just being trying to be professional and stuff like that about it. And he's like, well, maybe I'll do it. Maybe I won't do it. Who's to say? You know, maybe I'll do the show. Maybe I won't. And it was like, oh, fuck. I mean, you're not going to break our hearts or anything.
And really just to see how he acted. And from that point on, I was like, look, you know, who's to say we just can't be assholes back at him? I mean, what are they going to do, kick us out?
He's fuck. I mean,
you know, I'll be like, look, you know, we've had a lot bigger motherfuckers than you on the fucking show. It's not going to break our fucking hearts, you know, if you don't want to do it. Fuck you.
Yeah, it was a really bad experience. The other one, though, I mean, you go ahead and do yours, I guess, like if you have any notable ones aside from that.
Other than, like, I mean, we've had multiple run-ins with Tom Savini. Like, there was the one, too, where at Whorehound, the first Whorehound we went to, where Felcher went up there with us and tried to talk to Savini. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And like, cause this was like a year after we did the interview with him or something. He tried to talk to him about the interview.
He had no idea who we were.
He was like, no, I don't have a clue who that is.
Which is par for the course, I guess, really.
And, Miguel Nunez is one.
I was thinking of that one, yeah.
You know, and the thing is, if anybody, and I'm sure these guys would never know who the hell we are or anything, but it's just a little bit of a payback, I think, that we talk about these guys, and hopefully, you know, at least a few people won't want to come up to them and they'll lose money, you know.
I watched this all unfold, and this was another instance where I was behind you with a poster and did not, like, go up to him after that. He talked on his fucking cell phone all the way through the time when you were trying to, like, get autographs.
Well, yeah, that's the thing, like, I actually walked up to him, then his fucking phone rung or something like that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's on his phone the entire time, and I asked for a photo with him. He was talking on his phone. He was like, just a second, man.
he took
took his phone down to his side for like half a second to take a photo.
And then started immediately talking on it again.
Yeah.
Never even acknowledged, like, that anybody was there, really. He just signed it, took the money, like put the phone behind his back. I was watching that and I was like, there's no way in hell I'm going up with this guy.
Yeah, I mean, that was one. What were some other ones? I really haven't had that many bad experiences.
No,
shows.
I mean, there's been some that have just been like uneventful, but I won't even bring those up. Like, I'm just talking about the ones where it was noticeably bad.
Yeah, know? I mean, usually, like I'm saying, a lot of these people are getting paid $20 to write their fucking name. I mean, they, you know, they should have more sense to know that they should be really nice to people, you know.
Yeah. But that's convention experiences, though, right there.
It is. I hope everybody's enjoyed it, by God.
Everybody's got their own, too. That's a funny thing. Like, people that we meet that are really nice, there's at least one other person that's got to experience them being dicks.
You know, we're going to promote this show a little bit, and maybe there will be promoters that listen to this show. I think that it's important for the promoters themselves to make it more than just, oh, you're going to pay $30 to come in and just buy more shit, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that's the one thing I really like about Scarefest is that they have other stuff that you can just take your photos with there. You know, they have a lot of screenings and seminars and even Fright Nights, you know, they have the movies going all the time. And I think it's really important for these shows to, like, not just be fucking horror flea markets that people pay tickets. Because if you're buying a ticket, there should be something more than just going in and having to buy more shit, you know?
That's true, yeah. Another thing, too, is you need to make sure that you have all the shit, all your prices on the table marked. There's a lot of people that try to do that. They try to get you to come up and buy something and then, like, slip the price in on there, like $25 or something from these guys that have been in the movie for 2 or 3 minutes. It should be mandatory that everybody have, like, the price of their autographs on their tables and stuff, as well as, like, you know, if it's more to sign your own item or their item or anything like that. Mm-hmm. I just think it gets silly after a while.
What do you think, Jesco?
Yeah.
Jesco can't think of nothing right now.
So I guess that's it. I know that we'll have more convention stuff to talk about after the Horror Hound show. We always have new stories in these shows. And
there'll be something happen, I guarantee it, though. Yeah. There'll be one person that'll just piss us off forever.
Yeah, so that is it for our Horror Convention Rundown 2011, by God. And there should be, like, I don't know if there's going to be too many more shows of note that we didn't mention on here. The Fangoria doesn't do conventions as of right now. Rue Morgue usually has one, but it's not until, like, October, so I don't know what the lineup is for
that.
Yeah,
there's the Nashville one, too, but I don't know what's going on.
I have pretty much the same people every year, yeah. I think. But anyway, that is it. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back with the
bag.
This is Eurocult, celebrating the films of Dario Argento, Lucio Fulci, Sergio Martini, and others. Come join us. Come join the cult. You can find the cult at Eurocult.mypodcast.com. We'll be waiting.
Howdy, everybody. Welcome back.
Hello.
It's that special time. But I guess, like, we never did talk about what we're reviewing, so we should probably briefly mention that.
Well, after this portion is over with, we're going to be reviewing two wonderful movies. They're both Blu-rays.
Of course, that's all we review now.
And one of them is a sequel to a movie that was hideously shitty, and that is Mirrors 2, Breaking.
Mirrors 2, Reflections.
Yeah.
It actually does have, like, a...
unrated.
No, it just says the terror lives on. They couldn't even be creative.
No.
So, yeah, this is a two-disc edition with special digital copy. Or no, this is a DVD, and it is.
Is it? Does it have a DVD?
So you get the DVD and a Blu-ray.
They want to make sure you can watch that movie in every possible player.
We'll talk about that in a little bit. We also have the... brand new Blu-ray from Anchor Bay Entertainment, I Spit on Your Grave, the remake, the unrated version.
Which was weird to see Rodney Eastman again after, like, 20 years of not doing shit.
Yeah, it took me forever to realize that was who that was.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll be talking about those, the Blu-rays, and we'll let you know if they're worth watching or not.
But right now, it's that special time.
Woo! Mario!
Moral. Bye.
Like how you wind up.
That's right.
You always wind up.
You gotta get ready to answer the questions, baby. You know what I'm saying?
So these are the burning questions that you, the fans, had for us.
Ow. Okay. Let's see. Todd Westerlin says, I was wondering if you guys have seen Rolling Thunder in 1977. If so, what did you think of it? I have yet to see it, and I want to know if it's worth checking out.
I've heard of this movie. This is the movie about a truck or something like that, like a semi, I think. Mm-hmm. But I've never seen it. I think Blue Underground put it out, maybe.
I have never even heard of it.
But, yeah, I've heard of it. I
burnt my finger now. Look at that. I was like, something burnt. Look at that.
Yeah. Is that on your pick hand? Is that on your fret hand? If it is, it ain't going to hurt.
I didn't burn my finger. Oh. I burned my fingernail.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, I've never seen Rolling Thunder, though.
I don't think anybody's seen it. We apologize. I'd like to see it, though.
Yeah, send us a DVD-R.
That's how
we may watch it. If you send it, send a DVD-R or something, there's a 10% chance we'll watch it. And then after that, there's probably a 5% chance we'll review it.
I think you did burn your nail. I could smell it.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, you can see it.
Yeah, the little tip of it's all black.
That's my word.
He also says, I was wondering if Uncle Bill is going to pick up the real live action Simpsons porno that is coming out.
I don't know, but I'm definitely getting it.
I'd never even heard of that.
I don't even know what that is.
You do a real life Simpsons porno.
I guess it's just like people dressed up as the Simpsons screwing.
With yellow paint on.
I'm guessing.
Oh my God, I totally want to see that.
Well, who doesn't, really?
I did see, there was like a Beavis and Butthead porn that was called Beaver and Buttface or something like that.
What?
I thought that was disturbing because they had to do something to get him to look like Beavis and Butthead.
It was kind of weird looking.
Yeah. So
my mom had a friend. He looked like Beavis. He did. So Eric Hansen says, hey guys, just curious what everyone's favorite Jaws ripoff movie is.
Now, here's the interesting thing. I only know of one Jaws ripoff movie, really, if you're not talking about, like, Deep Blue Sea and shit like that. And that's Bruno Mattei's Cruel Jaws, which everybody always references as being...
Well, that's not only a ripoff. They actually steal scenes from the actual movie.
Yeah.
Itself.
It's an Italian version of Jaws. And I guess, like, you could consider Deep Blue Sea to be a Jaws ripoff. It really...
I remember seeing it at the drive-in. I actually liked that.
You could fucking consider Piranha to be a Jaws ripoff, really.
Yeah. See, I don't know a whole lot about Jaws ripoff, so I'm probably not the person to ask about that. But, like, yeah, Deep Blue Sea would definitely be one.
It's like, is Deep Rising, though, no, that's a like a giant squid of some sort.
I mean, there's 100 of them now.
That was pretty cool. I like Deep Rising.
All of them come out on Sci-Fi. It's like Sharktopus or Sharktopus.
Sharktopus.
Yeah. Megasaurus was another one. It was like a giant fucking shark. But... I don't know. Who really pays attention to those films anyway?
Dinah Croc.
But, I don't know.
Yeah,
yeah,
I'm...
I don't know.
See, the thing is, to me, Jaws is still one movie. Like, I don't really... I don't like the sequels of Jaws.
Jaws 4 was awesome.
Jaws 4 was kind of awesome in a shitty way, though. But
it
like,
was. It's like Troll 2.
Jaws... The original Jaws, to me, is still a standalone movie, though. I don't know why. I just always see it like that, even though they do have sequels. But, yeah. The one with Dennis Quaid was fucking terrible.
Jaws 3.
Yeah. Like, oh, my God. I could never even make it through that movie all the way.
It was really, really bad and kind of stupid.
That was. I think that is the only Jaws I don't have on at least a DVD.
It's a pointless movie to watch. And it's actually so is, like, Jaws 2. I mean, Jaws 2 is basically just, like, a cheaper imitation of the first movie.
Jaws 2 does have, like, Roy Schrider in it, at least.
Yeah, and it has the chick in it, too. I mean, it has everybody except the people that were actually really great in the movie, which were
I had the son.
Richard Dreyfuss and God, what's the guy's name? Come on.
The guy that died.
Robert Shaw.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was dead by then, I think, by the time the
I think so.
Sequel came out.
All right, so what's next?
Vincent Lert says, what is your favorite revenge film?
Mm. Well, that's odd because we are reviewing a revenge movie on here. That's bizarre. I like the they call her One Eyes, a really good one.
That's actually what I was going to say too.
What about Savage Streets?
Savage Streets is great too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are definitely.
Savage Streets is one of those though that like the movie wouldn't be nearly as good without the soundtrack.
I was just going to say and the soundtrack was really good.
Very like few people talk about this, but Miss 45 is actually a really good revenge movie too.
I've never seen it.
I got a VHS copy of it a long time back.
And give it to me. Let me watch.
No.
Like I said, give it to me. But
it's very, very similar to like Savage Streets, though. Very similar.
Yeah. Other revenge movies, though. Like, I don't think any of us really is a big fan of the original I Spit on Your Grave.
Not really.
It's an okay movie, but I mean, I don't get enjoyment out of watching shit like that, believe it or not. I mean,
well, there's really, I can't figure out what the point of that movie was, the original, because there's like literally probably a 30-minute rape scene in that movie where it just goes on forever, and then she gets away and gets recaptured and raped again, and then like.
Yeah, I kind of got bored with it after a while. I mean, there was parts of it where I started doing other things. I'm like, oh, okay, she's still being raped. All right, let's just move on.
That's like a big. I don't know. There's people that really love rewatching that over and over and over again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it.
He says, my second question is, which horror franchise would you never want them to stop making, even though the sequels could be terrible?
This is easy for me. I don't know why. I was thinking about this yesterday. I cannot figure out why I like these movies so much. Because I realize on some level that they're all pretty horrible after the first two. But the Hellraiser sequels.
I've seen all those that, yeah, you had.
I don't know. I just like pretty much all of those movies. Except the one with Lance Henderson. That one I can't even, like, really get into. But all the rest of them, for some reason, I get enjoyment out of them.
I don't know. I'd say either the Halloween movies or Friday the 13th, I think that those could go on forever.
Yeah, Friday the 13th could, definitely.
Yeah, I like Friday the 13th.
I think Halloween, like, the problem with that franchise is they seem to really overthink things now, you know. And, like, you don't need to fucking hire some big guy. Like, Halloween is a franchise that's always going to make money. If you know how to market it, it is always going to be a draw. Like, for instance, release a Halloween movie every 3 or 4 years, 2 weeks before Halloween in October. That's guaranteed gonna make money. I don't give a fuck who's in it, who directs it. If you make a movie that's decent and you can put together a good trailer, it is gonna make money.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's, you know, it doesn't need to set the fucking world on fire. Those movies never do. Just get somebody that, God damn, I mean, I don't think it matters who is in it, is the thing. Like, I don't even know how big of a difference it would have made had Rob Zombie not directed the remake. I don't think that would have made much of a difference at all.
Probably not.
He also says that he can't get enough of Tremors films, no matter how bad they are, which is actually pretty good. I always liked Tremors.
I always forget about Tremors.
I do, too. I always loved Kevin Bacon.
Yeah, but the first one was the best because it was the one with Reba McEntire in it.
It really was. I actually like all the Critters films, too. Like, they could make those indefinitely. Mm-hmm. For some reason, I'd like them.
Let's see.
The Ghoulies movies. Yeah. Of course, they only made, like, what, 3 or 4 of those?
I always liked Phantasm.
Yeah, but I don't know if we're going to get another Phantasm movie.
Which is actually okay.
Yeah,
I'm fine with that.
See, I'm one of the few that thinks that Phantasm 4 had a perfect ending. I don't know if you remember the ending of Phantasm 4. Because most of the movie, they were reusing shots from the original Phantasm. And they had just a perfect ending where basically the whole series was a dream.
Yeah.
Where they're still back in, like, the 70s and...
Well, a phantasm is a dream, isn't it?
Like, I mean, because that's the definition of phantasm. It's just a perfect way to end it, in my opinion. I mean, even though people really rag on the fourth movie, and the fourth movie's not the best, but, I mean, shit, I think it was the closest to the original film as any of those sequels, as far as the feeling goes.
Mike Morrissey says, hey guys, did you hear the rumor that WWE is in talks with Sting? He said, is there any truth to this rumor?
I'd actually heard that they are finally in talks. I don't know what that means.
I think that I'd heard that they wanted it to be like Undertaker Sting for WrestleMania.
I don't think that's going to happen now, but I don't know why not. Here's what I would do. And you actually, did you ever look at the Raw, the last segment of Raw from this past week on the internet?
One?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did actually.
Man, there's so many possibilities they could go with. Like, I don't think The Rock's going to wrestle. But that the whole rumor now is Triple H versus Undertaker, career versus streak again with Shawn Michaels as the ref. They don't need to do that. I would do that match, but not have it career versus streak because fucking Triple H just came back. You know,
if anybody was to ever end Undertaker's streak, though, it would be Triple H. I can just imagine that.
Nobody's
going to
end.
Yeah.
That's not going. I don't think that'll ever happen. So I would have Miz versus Cena with The Rock as the guest referee and have him be the guest referee. And then you could always bring Shawn Michaels back. Who knows when the hell Rock, if he ever want to do anything again with them. So that's how I would do it. Now, and I would do something with Sting and Undertaker though too. I mean, because Sting is a one time thing. You don't want to fucking hire him for like a year long contract.
Yeah, and there's really nobody else that he could go up against that would have that much of an impact as that match in the WWF right now, anyway.
So that's how I'd do it.
He also says, do you have any idea when the Don't Be Afraid of the Dark remake is coming out?
Nope.
I apologize, but
I don't know. Don't know about that one, folks.
He goes on to say also, have you ever heard of the classic rock band I can't pronounce this. Is it Savoy Brown?
I think it's Savoy Brown.
Savoy
Brown, baby. That's what I'm talking about.
They are an old school British blues rock band. I seen them recently, and they are awesome. I would highly recommend them. I think you guys would like them a lot. Check out their song, Tell Mama.
Huh. I never heard of them.
Neither, but I like that kind of blues rock stuff, so I'll probably check it out.
Yeah, I've noticed, like, with music now, because I was watching the NBA All-Star Saturday Night last night, like, they've got music now, like, I can't remember the guy's name, it's something green. Did you watch it at all?
Not really, no.
They had a musical act on there. This guy sounded like just 60s rock and roll, like he was doing, like, stuff like James Brown and like that's getting back in style. Just bizarre.
We'll recycle all that shit now. Yeah, I can see that happening. They've run out of stuff to rip off from the 50s and 60s. So
that's weird.
Alexander Bon Lumberjack.
Woo! That's his real name too, folks.
Mm. He says, I have a good question for you guys. Have you ever seen the 1987 slasher flick Blood Rage? It hasn't been released uncut on DVD, but I have seen the uncut VHS, and it was absolutely amazing. The acting was very funny, but it had great madman-type synth music. It says,
I haven't seen Blood Rage, though.
I remember seeing the VHS cover for it in one of those Whorehound magazines, and I think that, Rick had a big fascination with that movie, too, for a while.
I'd like to see it, but again, like, I'm sure the VHS is pretty valuable.
Probably.
And, you know, not unless we see it at a flea market or something, I doubt we'd get it.
Yeah. I'd like to see Hunter's Blood, too. That's another one I always hear about that's on VHS.
Hunter's Blood is actually, I think it's out on a DVD.
Is it?
Yeah.
He says, also keep an eye out for the Ted Raimi selling condoms during the credits.
That movie?
Yeah. Oh. He says, by the way, thanks for the new nickname, CK, Alexander Bon Lumberdoodle.
You're welcome, sir.
Yeah,
we don't have anything to add to that. We haven't seen the movie. I apologize.
You said a reprobate, right?
Mm-hmm.
I viewed a film called Seed by the director Uwe Boll. It started out with some real animal cruelty footage and had a feel to the film as if it was filmed in the 70s. I thought it was pretty mean-spirited film. For instance, at one point, there was a woman sitting tied to a chair, and the main character slowly walked around the chair, cracking her over the head with a hammer. A tap at first, then harder and harder, until her head was a bloody pulp. I was thinking it was a particularly nasty scene. Have you ever seen any other films like that? Or, I've never seen any other films that I know of.
What was the question?
About the film Seed.
I've never seen it.
I've tried to watch it, but I couldn't get through. Just like I tried to watch Postal, but I couldn't get through. But he wants to know if we know who Uwe Boll is. And obviously this guy's new, though. Because back in the early couple of years of the show, he was right alongside Eli Roth with the two people that we despise the most, really, because I've seen a lot of his movies, unfortunately. I've seen, what was the first one? House of the Dead.
Yeah,
and then Blood Rain.
All that up is the best one he ever did.
And then Blood Rain 2, and then Seed, and then Postal. And
what was hilarious is, and this is just a prime example of, like, how horror media, and we were talking about this from the Hatchet 2 review, like how people were getting behind Postal there when it came out, saying, oh, he's finally doing, oh, this is amazing. You guys won't believe it. Postal was like the shittiest thing that I'd ever seen him do, I believe,
yeah,
up to that point.
It was, all of his films are all awful, though. There's no way you can defend them, really. And he, just as a filmmaker, is idiot.
I think he's one of those guys that knows he makes shitty movies.
Yeah,
though.
He does. He's kind of in on the joke now. Yeah. He's not like Eli Roth. Eli Roth is clueless to how, or at least impervious to how shitty he is.
Well,
why do you always look at me and laugh whenever
I can't
you
help
talk
it.
About Eli
it
Roth?
It tickles me because I know like you really
well,
think.
It's okay if Jess likes Eli Roth but realizes she's wrong in doing so.
No, I like Eli Roth and I understand that most everybody doesn't like him, but I don't think I'm wrong for liking him.
Yeah, you do.
I kind of, I guess I keep it to myself then, maybe in a sense that I'm slightly embarrassed that I like him because everybody hates him.
You're closeted Eli Roth
fan. I'm a closeted Eli Roth fan.
Yeah, that's okay.
You dream of his
spot. The thing is, I don't like Hostel. I never liked Hostel. I never liked Hostel 2. I liked Cabin Fever, and I feel like, I don't know, I'm not getting into it.
I never liked Cabin Fever.
I did. I liked Cabin Fever when it came out. I thought it was fun.
But please, for God's sake, avoid his films. Avoid Uwe Boll's films.
And Eli Roth's films.
Yeah.
And Adam Green's films.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
It's a trifecta of terror.
Anyway.
You want it that
anyway,
way.
Anyway.
Kyle Whitler says, hey,
hello,
CK
Kyle.
And Uncle Bill. As an avid fan of wrestling like you, I can't help but ask the question, is WWE today better than the Attitude Era?
Getting a lot of wrestling questions this week, aren't we?
Yeah, buddy, people like wrestling. It's WrestleMania season, buddy.
Is WWE today better than the 90s Attitude Era? Go. Debate.
Okay, this is actually a great time to ask me this question because, you know, everybody knows I'm doing the big WrestleMania retrospective and I've been watching some of them that I haven't seen a lot, you know, just to sort of, for the reviews and stuff. And I watched, to me, this was like the prime Attitude Era, 1999, WrestleMania 15. Now, here's the thing. I think the pay-per-views back then, the monthly shows that were on pay-per-view, were overall way better than what's on today. But at the same time, like, they did have a lot of really stupid, pointless shit in the Attitude Era, too, that nobody ever brings up. Like, they would just do stuff, go overboard with stuff, just to do it. You know, like the whole, you remember the Katie Vick thing?
Of course, with Kane and all that.
Yeah, where they were.
Well, what about the Val Venus cutting his wang off?
Cutting
shit
his dick
and all
off
stuff.
And stuff like that.
Also, people tend to forget, like, for every one angle that they had, like Rock and Stone Cold and all that, that there were like 100 different angles, like Right to Censor and PMS.
Yeah.
And like.
Beaver Cleavage.
Yeah, there's just. There is a ton of horrible shit at that
time.
Yeah,
I think. the Attitude Era is pretty overrated. I mean, now amongst like wrestling fans, because like people just remember, oh man, do you remember, you know, Austin McMahon and The Rock and Austin and all those great matches and stuff. Yeah, but I mean, there were a lot of bad shit too.
Headbangers, Val Venus, like yeah. There's a ton of really bad.
Yeah, I think though still Attitude Era was probably a little bit better than the stuff today.
I do too, just because the stuff today, at least back then it was exciting and they tried to do like really cool, they tried to still do angles back then. Today it's just like, I don't know what the hell they're doing. They just put on shows with they have no purpose each week.
I think though, like, back then they had a lot more people that can actually wrestle too though. Like nowadays, like a lot of the guys they bring in, they've only been wrestling like 1 or 2 years when they bring them in from the farm leagues and stuff.
I don't even think the main guys can really wrestle. Like, I don't really even like to watch like fucking Randy Orton wrestle. I think he's kind of shitty.
Randy Orton, honestly, though, as far as technical wrestling goes, he probably is one of the better guys that they've got.
He just bores me to tears. Actually, who's like John Cena? You don't even get it started on John Cena.
I think
CM Punk, I think, is a good wrestler, though. I really do think he's good.
Yeah, I think Daniel Bryan's actually really good too, but they'll probably never push him. He's probably the most exciting guy they've got that can do stuff. Dolph Ziggler.
They never push him.
They're actually pushing him, I think.
He goes on to state his case. He says, of course, that may be a rhetorical question. I watched WWF as a kid in the height of Hulkamania in the late 80s and early 90s. And came back watching it in 1998 with Stone Cold, DX, and The Rock. Today we have John Cena and Miz and a bunch of non-charismatic duds.
Yep.
I quit watching WWE last September and strictly watched TNA.
Oh, God.
Even though TNA has its problems, but at least Dixie Carter and company don't treat the wrestling viewers as idiots and sponges like Vince does.
I can't agree with that. I think they treat people more like idiots in TNA. They had a fucking fish market match on. What are you talking about?
Well, the thing is, too, is like, I don't know if people realize this or not. I remember listening on a wrestling radio show, Dixie Carter, the lady that runs TNA, was asked in like a meeting to describe her fans, you know, a common TNA fan. And she said, well, they're all like the guy from the 40-year-old virgin.
Oh, wow.
She said.
Wow. That's
so
mean.
Is that really respecting your fans? I don't think so.
And, dude, you must have a short-term memory, though, because they did a year, almost a year-long angle, talking about treating fans like it, a year-long angle where Abyss took Hulk Hogan's fucking ring.
WWE Hall of Fame ring.
And that was his source of power. He would actually turn into Hulk Hogan.
Yep.
Now, how the fuck is that, like...
What's funny is, like, you're promoting the fucking other company on there. The ring has a WWE logo on it.
Anyway. Where did they...
TNA
beginning part
is
of
that, fucking...
Like,
there wasn't a question. He was asking about attitude.
But another thing about the Attitude Era, though, like, other shit that sucked on WrestleMania 15 that I remember watching... Was you remember the whole corporation thing they did?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
The ministry and the corporation, and they had the corporate ministry.
Yeah.
Like, they just combining a bunch of shit.
That was the WrestleMania, though, where Undertaker hung Big Boss Man, and the Big Boss Man really did die like a year or two after that.
That's what killed him.
Good Lord. Oh, you're all tickled.
I am.
John Smallberry says, hey, folks. Finally, I agree with CK on something.
Ooh.
I, too, hate the fact that kids think it's cool to wear Ramones and CBGB gear. It's laughable. I think the world owes a great debt to them for dealing a death blow to disco. And that is a debt that will never be fully paid. Also, saying that every song they did sounds the same, while it may be true, the same can be said about AC/DC, Motorhead, and a lot of others. Anyway.
No. Not AC/DC.
No, he's right. They all songs, I mean, seriously, they're all in A.
Here's
I mean, you can't.
Hey, let's do, we did fucking
Rob Zombie?
Rob Zombie, let's do Motorhead now. I can do the music and you do the vocals.
Alright.
There's Motorhead.
Hi!
He says, anyways, my question is, what do you three think is the number one, oh, I love this, what do you three think is the number one worst horror movie of all time?
The worst non-horror movie of all time.
Worst
horror movie and then the worst non-horror movie.
There we go.
Sorry. I was reading ahead too much.
Yeah, buddy. Quit trying to correct Jess so much. You're getting mad. Christ,
what's the worst horror
movie? Well, just because I can't read and don't know how to spell most things.
Well, this is
how do you qualify what the worst horror movie is, though, really? We've seen 100 incredibly shitty films.
To me, and I won't be perfectly honest here, I'm not even going to pick the obvious. I'm going to go with movies that just make you want to fucking just not exist. Like, they don't even get you riled up to even fucking talk about them or anything. Like Mercy or something like that. Frankenstein's Bloody Nightmare. Where you're just sitting there watching it and you're like, what? You don't even get mad. You're like, this exists. We're in a world where somebody wasted, you know, months and months of their life to make that, you know. So that's what I would put movies like that into that category. As shitty as Hostel is and Cabin Fever and Hostel 2, everything Eli Roth ever done, at least we get enjoyment out of just constantly ragging on the guy and letting everybody know how much we hate his movies. Same thing goes for Adam Green. You know, I wouldn't put any of their stuff as the worst horror movie ever because in a way we do get enjoyment out of those movies.
Fuck. Well, if that's the case, then if that's like the requirement where you just watch a movie,
that's just the way I'm.
If it's because you just watch a movie and you don't feel anything, and then you forget about it, then it has to be something like the Fog remake or like the original Mirrors, one of those movies. I know I saw that movie, but I'll be damned if I can remember anything at all about it other than it was just there, and I thought it was incredibly stupid. So it'd have to be a movie like that then.
I don't know. I really don't know.
What's the first one that comes to mind? Just something that you'd never have an interest in never watching again?
A lot of things.
I mean, you just hated. You just fucking hated it at the core of your being when you were watching it. Like, after it was over, you just thought it was a huge waste of time.
Yeah, it's like you're watching it and somebody, like, when you watch a movie, it's so bad, it feels like somebody's just actually, like, waxing your eyeballs with shit or something.
I think probably the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the remake, the beginning, or I think that's what it was called.
That was the second one.
The sequel to the remake. Or the prequel.
That one, I had a hard time actually sitting down and watching it because I put it in and I watched some of it and I have a really short attention span anyways.
I know that.
And that one, I hardly actually remember watching it. I just kept getting up, doing stuff, laundry.
Now, I got to say, though, as bad as that one is, I actually think it's slightly better than the remake.
I don't know. They're both, like, really horrible to me.
See, the movies like that, even with the remake of Halloween remakes and then the Texas Chainsaw Massacre remakes, where there's an unnecessary amount of blood and guts. And
stuff, the blood of blood.
It doesn't make any sense, and it's just boring.
Well, I tell you one where I can't really remember anything about it now. We just watched this not too long ago. Was Nightmare on Elm Street remake, where it was like, I mean, it really was like a bad dream.
Absolutely no desire to watch.
I was actually thinking about that,
again.
Like we were talking about movies to do commentaries over. That would be a fucking killer one.
Yeah, I'd have to be drunk off my ass to watch that again, though. Really, I'd have to be high on mescaline or peyote or something.
That would work, man. That'd be an awesome one. Because everybody hates it.
But what about, he says the worst non-horror film, too. Golly, that's fucking...
Oh, man, there's so many.
I think pretty much any of those romantic comedy. Well, not all of them. There are actually some of those that are pretty funny, but the some of those movies just really are boring.
That is just really hard, though, to do the worst non-horror because there's just so many bad movies that everybody's experienced over the years.
Yeah, there's no way I could pick that. No.
There's a lot of Adam Sandler movies recently.
I see. I wouldn't even put that in there. That wouldn't even be close. Like, I'm thinking of stuff like Meryl Streep stuff. Like, to me, I always thought one of the shittiest movies ever, and it was nominated for a ton of Academy Awards, was Adaptation.
Did you ever see that? It was boring.
I was watching it. I was like, how in the goddamn fuck is this nominated? It was so fucking just long and just drawn out and boring, and I hated it. Actually, about anything with Nicolas Cage recently is pretty shitty, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know what movie I think I was talking to you about the other day was, I couldn't get through it, and I'm a huge Bill Paxton fan. I love Paxton. But
yeah, she really does.
I couldn't even make it all the way through. It was Near Dark. I guess.
Yeah, that's another one. I agree.
It's bad to me. Only I haven't seen it all the way through. I couldn't make it all the way through.
I've never seen it all the way through either. I never could make it.
And then there's a lot of people who like it.
There's a lot of people that think it's a fucking classic.
But why?
Actually,
I couldn't even make it to the Bill Paxton part.
Yeah, I mean, there's a few to me that like. There was another one. Of course, I'm not big on any art house movies or anything like that. Lost Highway, the David Lynch movie. I started watching that, and that was very much like Frankenstein's Bloody Nightmare or something, where you're watching it, and you're like, almost like, weed is a necessity for...
Sadly, I thought that, what's the one, is it Blue Velvet?
Yeah.
I thought that was like that, too. Like, I started watching that movie, and it, because everybody always talks about it, and talks about Dennis Hopper in it and all that stuff. It was just so fucking confusing and just boring. I just didn't get anything out of it at all.
Yeah,
I just don't think I like David Lynch. I've come to that conclusion.
You also didn't like Vertigo.
No, I thought that movie was...
See, another one I won't piss people off, Hitchcock-wise, North by Northwest wasn't that great, in my opinion.
Yeah, that might be a generation gap, but I just did not enjoy movies like that.
I just seemed like there was a lot of stuff in North by Northwest that could have been cut out. That movie was like 3 hours long.
But it's a classic, folks. It really is.
Well, the Blu-ray looked killer.
At least there's that. So what's next?
Kyle Taylor says, hey, it's Kyle from Olive Hill. Eat shit and live here.
Tom T. Hall's biggest fan.
Mm-hmm.
I hope you guys are doing well and enjoying this shitty Kentucky cold weather. Actually, that's been pretty nice the last few days. You guys seem like you are really getting into the WrestleMania spirit here in the last couple of weeks. I was wondering what is your guys' favorite current wrestler today? He says, I am more of a fan of the old school 80s stuff. But I like several of the new guys, especially Santino, Alberto Del Rio, and Carlito.
I don't know. I actually got to say probably my favorite, and I don't even know if you realize this, just fun to watch and just always exciting and stuff, is Rob's least favorite would be Kofi Kingston.
God, Rob's probably just shit his pants.
But man, to me, like, I don't know why they don't push. They don't do anything with that guy. And he's like, at one point in time, they could have easily made him a main event guy, I think.
I can't tell now if this is actually going to work for his character and stuff, but the guy that's probably my favorite wrestler right now in WWE is CM Punk. Like, especially around that time when he was shaving his head and, like, he had just his own little group of people there and before he
got
Nexus.
Now he's the new leader of the Nexus.
Yeah, I don't know how that's going to work, but that whole gimmick and, like, especially the Royal Rumble where he was, like, throwing people out, and then he got on the mic and was, like, talking about, like, how everybody could be saved and all that shit. I thought that whole era of that was genius.
I'll tell you another one that I really like, but they've seemed to really just been shitting on the guy lately, Sheamus.
Yeah, he's got a great gimmick, too, and he's actually a really good wrestler to be that big, but they do. They don't push him anymore.
They haven't done anything to him lately.
They're too busy pushing Alberto Del Rio now.
Yeah. Well, I think he's pretty good, too. I love the ring announcer that's with him. It never shuts up.
Yeah.
He always says his name over and over and over.
Alberto Del Rio!
He looks like somebody, though.
Yeah, he looks like Eddie Munster.
He looks like somebody. I just...
The thing is, though, they don't really have time to waste with that guy. That guy's almost 40 years old already, so they have to pretty much push him pretty quick.
He says, I was also wondering how CK knew that Del Rio was going to win the Royal Rumble. I would have never guessed that it would be anybody besides a huge name. Keep up the good work.
Well, if you've been watching wrestling as much as I have over the years, like, you can pick up on things like, okay, 3 or 4 weeks before the Royal Rumble, Alberto Del Rio was on every show doing something, Raw and SmackDown. He was the only guy doing that, and they were getting his name out there more and more. So I just put two and two together, and I was like, well, that's probably who they want to pick. I mean, who else could have fucking won it? You know they're not going to let, you know, Randy Orton's matches, like, he's wrestled everybody already. Like, that nothing, they can't keep anything fresh with him or Cena.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to put somebody else new in there, I think. There you go.
Oh, I love this guy's questions. Newt138.
Oh, shit. I remember this one.
Okay, this one is for CK.
Oh, no.
You are in a 2000s torture porn film, and you have the following choices. You must choose one. So, you remember, you have to choose one of these. Save Uncle Bill or lose your penis. Or save your penis, but Uncle Bill dies. Choose one. And he wrote it in big bold.
If there
letters.
Was no Uncle Bill, there would be no use for my penis. So I can't really answer that.
Oh, my God.
But
I wouldn't have no one to play with it.
I guess what you could do is you could save Uncle Bill, lose your penis, but then have your penis reattached.
What?
Could that? You could have your penis reattached. That Lorena Bobbitt chick chopped that dude's dick off.
Yeah, but you have to go through having your dick cut off. That's pretty hardcore.
Yeah, but you can't ever say that I've never had my dick cut off.
Yeah. Whenever that comes up in conversation.
Hey, you ever had your dick cut off?
Yeah, I mean, actually.
It was exciting.
It's like a conversation Crater would have with your buddy. You ever lose your dick on the highway?
And then that, a little bit later, it's like, you remember that show, Hey Dude? Yeah, very, interesting question there, sir.
So, you'd save them?
Well, I already said it would do good. No good.
There's really no answer to that question, I don't think.
So that
There's
is
always
it.
An answer.
Or is there one more?
There's one more for my favorite person of all time.
Uh-oh.
Okay, we're going to wrap it up here.
So you're going to be the Dead Pit fan of the week?
Yeah.
Cunt Wrecker.
Woo!
There we go. Good old Cunt
He's
Wrecker.
He's a Cunt Wrecker! Pussy! Pecker!
Nothing rhymes with Cunt Wrecker.
We should definitely come up with a song of that, though, somehow.
He says, hey, guys, I enjoyed last week's show, so I've decided to send another question in the deep, glorious mailbag.
Ooh.
First off, I want to say that CK is doing a great job on the WrestleMania reviews and cannot wait when he reviews WrestleMania 17.
Now, that's when I'm going to have to find the DVD or that. Because I think that is like the rarest DVD to get. Because that was not long after they had to change the name, or not long before they have to change the name or something. I don't know what the deal is.
It says, which IMO is the best WrestleMania? I don't know what IMO is. IMO?
In my opinion.
Oh, he's saying that's the best WrestleMania.
Oh, I thought that was like a... Well, oops, I guess I'm not in on the whole lingo.
You remember,
you're supposed
like,
to be down with all the kids.
Yeah, back in the day, like when I first got on the internet, there were all kinds of like phrases that aren't used anymore. Like, do you remember AFK? What that stands for?
Mm-mm.
That's supposed to be away from keyboard.
Oh, I don't remember that.
I don't remember that.
Yeah,
either.
That's BRB now. That's how they do it now.
Yeah, but AFK was what it started off as. And there were a couple other ones I can't remember.
The only ones I know is laugh my ass off and LOL.
Yeah, there's like extensions of ROL.
It's rolling on the floor laughing.
Yeah, whatever.
But he says,
who the fuck come up with that shit anyway?
People really, really he says that WrestleMania 17 is the best in his opinion then. Because it is WrestleMania, I think you should do a full throttle and interview a wrestler that has captivated the world and is an icon to the wrestling business.
We're working on it.
Yeah, we really are, though.
We're going to, maybe, possibility, that we're going to get Max Moon on the show.
It's nothing set in stone, though.
Yeah.
But Mantar could be on at
Max
some point.
Moon and Mantar.
Yeah.
He says that
best tag team ever.
Deadpool should interview Virgil.
Yeah. We probably could.
So anyways, my question is, what are each of your favorite unhappy and happy endings in horror movies?
How did it go from the first part of that question to that?
Well, he was saying that he enjoys
favorite
WrestleMania stuff.
Happy ending in a horror movie.
Shit.
What's a happy ending in a horror movie?
Where everybody gets away or somebody gets away like that you liked or it all works out.
Well, I know a happy ending. Here's one that's good. Okay, Friday the 13th, part 8, after they already drowned Jason and all this shit. Then at the very end, you see another figure coming up towards them, and they look down, and it's her little dog.
Aww.
Oh, that was a happy ending. She found a dog again.
She did. Oh, God.
I think my favorite unhappy ending, and I don't know if this is a horror movie or more of a sci-fi movie, but my favorite unhappy ending is probably In the Mist.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a real good one.
Because, I mean, that
it's
was
unhappy
pretty,
as it gets.
It's
right
as
there.
Unhappy as it gets, and I thought that was pretty cool.
I think that my favorite, and it's weird that this would be considered a happy ending, but I guess in like the grand scheme of the whole movie, it is like happy. It's the most satisfying ending of all the films, though, that I can think of on the top of my head is the Last House on the Left, where the whole premise of that movie is that all the killers wind up in the house.
Mm-hmm.
Of the people that the parents of the people mm-hmm. that they killed,
which at the time when that came out, that was really innovative, I think.
Yeah,
I mean, you didn't really see much like that.
Unhappy endings, though. I can't think of like right off the top of my head where everything just completely
actually.
Fucked.
They had a really cool unhappy ending in The Last Exorcism.
Yeah, that was really
pretty
good.
Cool.
I liked the Day of the Dead. I liked that ending. That's a happy ending to me. Because how they all ended up on
the
beach and everything. I really like that.
Blair Witch Project.
Oddly enough, all of the Evil Dead movies end unhappily, I guess. But, like, with him, something happening to him, it never ends, like, with any kind of closure, really.
Yeah, I feel
Cannibal,
bad for
Cannibal, Holocaust.
Yeah, that movie was unhappy all the way through.
You never did see that.
I can't do it. I can't do it.
No,
I
she'll never watch it.
Do you actually have the new Grindhouse?
Yeah, with the
you can
cut out the animal death.
You can watch it without the animal death.
Every time I'll see it now, like even looking at your thing over here, you got a picture of it over here, makes me
that's
a little
the impaled. Sick. That's actually in the movie.
Yeah, I know, and it makes me upset looking at it because I keep
quit being such a pussy.
I am a woman. I have a pussy, and I feel bad for that goddamn turtle.
Well, you don't have to watch it with a turtle. You can watch it without the animal dead.
I know, but every time I see it, I think about someone eating a turtle.
Tailor it to some other cannibal movie and then turn the animal death off.
There is actually another one called Cannibal for Rocks, which is probably just as bad, though. There's animal deaths in that one, too.
Yeah. So, there you go.
He says, he goes, P.S., when I mean happy ending, I'm not talking about when the Peking waitress takes you in the kitchen and jerks you off until you bust a load in fried rice.
Oh,
Harold.
My name is, what did they say her name was? Like,
Suzanne or something? Susan?
No, it was like, Betsy? Betty? Becky? No.
I don't know, but for some reason, like, all of the women in Peking, they can hardly speak English, but they all have English names.
That's right.
Like Ethel or something.
Now you're being racist again.
We're being racist.
You're being racist.
But it's true, though.
That's right. People are taking notes. We've been racist 57 times in the show already. And homophobic.
Hello,
84 times.
My name's Becky. I help you today.
Hey.
Okay.
So,
that's it.
That is it for the bag. That was a very plentiful bag this week.
That bag was locked and loaded.
Yeah. So when we come back, we're going to have Blu-ray disc review, baby. That's what I'm talking about, Blu-ray discs.
Uh-huh. Let's review the shit out of them.
Yep. And we'll get to that after this break on Deadpool.com. Hey, Uncle Bill!
Yeah!
How you doing?
I'm Kip Heisner.
You know Dead Pit fans out there? Not a lot of them know about the midweek obliteration.
I thought everybody knew. It's the hottest thing going today.
You can go on Facebook. Check it out on the Dead Pit Universe page. Brand new show almost every damn week. You can hear us bullshitting.
And in a historical first, there's a new member of Dead Pit. Jesco!
Hey, Jesco.
Hi.
You like joining in on the midweek obliteration every week? You like getting obliterated by two Eastern Kentuckians, don't you?
Lay it down with your sweet, sultry voice.
Obliterate
all over my face. You know you have a lot of guys that masturbate your voice on a weekly basis now.
Oh, God, it's Jessica. Like, oh, it's Jessica. She's so weird. You're mail to me.
She's a girl. She likes hormones. She's on Dead Pit. That's the perfect girl for me.
I'll just tame a little bit in my pants.
How's that make you feel? You're now like a hillbilly sexual icon.
A hillbilly sexual icon?
Yeah.
Oh,
like
shit.
Goats and yeah. Sisters.
And you can hear all about it. Hey, I ask Jessica some of the nastiest shit known to man almost every week on the Midweek Obliteration, and she answers it, and she has respect for it, don't you?
What the fuck? She has respect for this question.
Yeah,
respect?
For me, telling her about what a blumpkin he is and all that.
Oh, good lord.
She's going to try that out on Uncle Bill over there.
Ain't nobody touching me when I'm shitting. I don't give a damn what the reason is.
Even if I go in there and be like, hey.
I'm going to get out. What are you doing?
Shit.
You crazy. Pull your dick out of the toilet. Give it to me.
Oh, God. Hear all that on the midweek.
Obliteration.
Yay.
This is Fred Decker, director of The Monster Squad and Night of the Creeps, and you're listening to Dead Pit Radio.
Hey! How's everybody doing out there? How you doing, Jess?
I'm all right.
Other than the fact that a little fishy might be dead. I hope it's not.
Committed fishicide.
Did not commit suicide.
Suicide.
Well, that's the thing. If it is dead, you have some nice sushi.
That's true.
Oh, it's horrible.
We'll put it in some fried rice. It'll be great.
I think anything can replace that fish. I love that fish.
That fish was
awesome.
We talk about it like it's dead. It's probably perfectly fine.
It's probably dead.
It's just lonely.
It's just... Well, the thing is, it's probably dead. It really is. I have a feeling it is.
Okay, you're wrong.
I just got this overwhelming, horrible feeling that my fish is dead.
No!
So, anyway... We want to let everybody know we got some major announcements to make. Of course, as always, we've got our WrestleMania retrospectives, or at least mine. I'm doing the retrospective on WrestleMania. And I don't know what number we're on. We're doing a lot of them. We're doing up to WrestleMania 27. What are you doing, Uncle Bill? What's your extracurricular activities for Dead Pit?
Just being a player.
Yeah, you don't really
want to
know.
Yeah. Also, though, I'll be doing 9 with you at some point. I know that.
Well, we better do it soon because we're almost up to 9.
You're on 7 right now, though, right?
Yeah, at the time we're recording this, we're on 7.
Yeah. So, yeah, we should be able to do it.
Let's do it. Let's do it right now.
Let's go back there.
And also, we're in the very early stages, and I'm saying that maybe by summer, who knows, of doing a brand new Dead Pit site. And this is going to be something, we're not going to give out all the details for you guys, but it's going to be a lot easier to find what you're looking for. You know, a lot of people wanted to know, have we ever reviewed so-and-so movie? You'll be able to find out pretty quickly with the new site. And that's going to take a long time to get everything done that needs to be done. But we're going to do what needs to be done and say what needs to be said in the end. Isn't that right, Uncle Bill?
That's true. You're going to have access to one of the most state-of-the-art search engine thingy waters that's ever been existed
that's
on the face of the earth.
We've got an amazing thingamajig that we're going to be
You're going to be able to put something there and figure out, like, who we've interviewed and what we've, like, talked about DVDs. And you, a lot of people are excited about that.
It's going to be amazing. And we're going to have a brand new written review portion that'll be available. And it's just going to be a completely new Dead Pit. And so, you guys, I think people will really enjoy it. And it'll be, you know, we'll have at some point an exclusive member section, too. We don't know what we're going to put on that. Mm-hmm. Uncle Bill's got, you know, at least 400 and some odd hours of anal bead footage. That God. Could be. Maybe we could put it up there. I don't know.
That comes from our private collection. Yeah. You can't heck with that.
Well, no, that's not even counting what kinky shit you all have been doing. This is just Uncle Bill private.
That's not counting where, like, you take the anal beads and then run out the door with them while they're up my butt.
Yeah.
Oh! I hook them up to the car and I throw them in reverse.
Yeah. And of course, the Uncle Bill chestnut videos, too, where he's just shoving chestnut after chestnut up his butt.
That's Christmas then, time, though. Yeah. I only do that around Christmas.
Yeah, and listens to Bing Crosby while he's doing it.
Oh, chestnuts?
I drink eggnog out of his ass.
Yeah. That's what
you all did that this past Christmas.
I fart eggnog into her face.
That's a new one. But yeah, we're, like I said, it's going to be a long time coming, but maybe by the summer, brand new Dead Pit site, it'll be a work in progress for a while, but by God, people are going to shit themselves with pleasure.
And glee.
Yeah. So with that being said, let's dive on in violently to the review portion. First one up, we should definitely mention. God. Let's talk about this one.
It's genius.
Because, let's be honest, we've had this Blu-ray for what, probably about 3 or 4 months. And yeah. The cover of it just screams like, I should probably put that back.
Yeah, it's something you never really want to watch.
And it is Mirrors 2, the unrated version with Blu-ray and DVD combo pack, I guess. And it's directed by Victor Garcia. Now, we don't want to confuse him. We confused him with Hector. Or no, what was his name? Victor, the guy that did
Jeepers Creepers?
Yeah.
What the hell is that guy's name? I don't remember.
But he's the child molester. Victor Garcia loves pussy.
Does he?
Over the age of 18, too.
So this, Mirrors 2 has Nick Stahl in it. I guess Nick Stahl, best remembered from Terminator 3.
Yeah,
right?
Terminator 3.
And he is...
Rise of Machines.
He is taking over the night watchman duties that I guess Kiefer Sutherland had in the first one for his father after he has a nervous breakdown and he doesn't really want to do anything. His father gets him his job as a night watchman for this big company where all the mirrors are freaking people out and showing people shit.
Basically the same plot as the original.
Exactly the same plot, yeah. And so he's in there doing his security guard thing, and all of a sudden he starts
looking
noticing,
weirded out, yeah.
Yeah, noticing weird images in the mirror.
That's right. And, yeah, I mean, this one, like, it is almost exactly the same as the original movie. I mean, the people sort of kill themselves one by one. Like, the reflection in the mirror kills the actual person.
Right. The reflection turns into another, like, evil version of the person and then does something.
An evil entity.
It does something that, like, kills the person in real life. The weird thing is, another thing I always thought was stupid as hell about this movie is it's not just the mirrors in the building. It's any mirror that you come in contact with.
Or any reflection.
Yeah,
there,
any
like
reflection.
Puddles, water puddles.
That's right.
Which is so fucking
If you
stupid.
Pee in the floor and see a reflection, that could kill you.
Your own pee can murder
your
you.
Your own piss can murder you.
That's right. Scurry.
Nick Stahl kind of cracked out in this one, too. He looked awfully thin.
That's, I agree,
scraggly.
Yeah.
Scraggly. His hair looked like a hairpiece.
I think like that was part of the character, but yeah, I think he definitely wears a toupee and looks way too bony, you know, sickly. Looking.
Also, William Katzen. I haven't seen William Katzen anything since like 1980.
Yeah, I wonder how the hell he got that role.
This movie made absolutely no sense. I was really bored with this movie. I was so bored.
It also had Emmanuel Vargas. Wonder Vargyar, who's been in a bunch of shit.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong, there's a couple of decent scenes in this movie, and I guess hers was probably one of them, where she's in the bathtub taking a shower or something like that, and she sees a reflection thing in the mirrors of the shower and ends up there's a whole death scene involved there that's really, really cool.
It's total decapitation.
It just reminded me way too much of Final Destination.
But overall, it's just, it's first of all, it's the exact same premise as the first movie, which is a retarded premise. And then secondly, it's got a lot of CG in it, which really looks horrible.
Yeah.
And third, like for one, the one that got me, I was like, oh my God, this is going to be awful. It was the one where the security guard at the beginning is eating the glass. And then you see him later. And I'm pretty sure this would never, ever happen, but there's like, he's got all these like shards of glass coming out of his cheeks and shit. And you're like,
like it was just little bitty itty pieces of glass and then these big.
I don't think that's how it works. And then he's still got it in his, it's just, oh Lord.
And then when you go see him and he's talking, he's like,
yeah, he's still alive.
Yeah. And he, for some reason, he turned into like a retard.
He turned into like a hermit.
Yeah.
Just,
I mean, this movie, like I'm saying, it's not a big surprise if you see this in a store. Like, you sort of should know what you're getting yourself into.
Yeah.
It's a direct-to-DVD Blu-ray sequel of a movie that not too many people gave a shit about anyway. I mean, and if you're a fan, I'll say this, if you're a fan of the original Mirrors, you'll probably like it because it's better. I mean, it's bad, but I still thought it was a little bit better than the original Mirrors.
Were there fans of the original Mirrors?
If there are.
I don't recall anybody liking that movie.
No,
really.
I'm saying if there were any fans out there.
Yeah,
you
would love that. If you're like one of the five fans, you'd love it.
I hardly remember the first one. The only thing I remember about is freaking Kiefer.
That's what I'm saying.
Kiefer
I don't remember
cussing
anything
like crazy.
He's a drunk in it, which is like imitating life, I guess. But
yeah, they should have got Charlie Sheen. Maybe he'll be in the third one.
Mirrors 3, back to party.
Yeah. Yeah. But this movie, I don't know what else to really say about it. It's, I mean, it looked like they had a decent enough budget for the movie. It didn't look like a really low-budget film. It looked way, better than Hatchet 2 or something like that. It didn't look like a... To me, it didn't look like a direct-to-DVD movie. It looked like something that could have played in theaters, but there's no way this could have ever happened with Nick Stahl starring in it. I mean, I don't think that would have ever happened.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say, it seems like I liked it more than the original Mirrors. I will give it that, but not much else.
Yeah, it was, I mean, it's right on par with the original Mirrors. It's not great. It's not like, it's not something I want to poke my eyes out over, but it's not great either.
Yeah, there is some interesting death scenes in it.
There's a lot of nudity in that fucking movie, too.
That's true, yeah.
Was there?
Yeah. You know, especially the one chick
that got decapitated.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. I remember her.
She had some big old fake boobies. Other extras, though, it's on this is making of Mirrors 2, keeping it real, the visual and special effects of Mirrors 2. There's a bonus view thing, which I guess is sort of like the Java program they have on this where you can watch Mirrors 2 with the woman in the mirror.
Oh, shit.
Wait, how does that even work?
I don't know. Deleted scenes and, interesting thing. And I didn't really notice until, I looked at the extras on this. I might actually check it out to see if the, original Mirror movie is good. On the DVD, the other side of the DVD, it has the original Korean feature film Into the Mirror in standard def. So we can check that out.
Yeah. You know the original Korean version of Mirrors is going to be off the chain.
Well, the thing is that I've noticed, at least, and that's the only way I'll give any of these Asians credit when they make movies, is like the visuals, they get the visuals down perfect in those movies, and sometimes it can be really creepy. So maybe that's what, Into the Mirror is. But, yeah, that's Mirrors 2. I think it came out like late last year, and I would only recommend this for fans of haunted mirror movies.
The small market for fans of haunted mirror movies.
Yeah.
So up next then is one that I think we were looking forward to a little bit more so than Mirrors 2.
That's right.
But not that much more so. And this is the I Spit on Your Grave remake, the unrated version. Oh my God.
Indeed. And this is one of those remakes that sort of just came out of nowhere. Much like, we should definitely try to get a copy of the It's Alive remake. I'd like to see that because I hear it's hilariously awful.
Oh, I'm sure.
But yeah, similar to that, like, where nobody really said much about this. It just fucking just came out, you know. And it actually came out with the original on Blu-ray the same day.
It's like that. It's like It's Alive. It's a weird movie, an obscure movie to make a remake out of. It's just... And the way they did it is pretty much exactly like the original movie.
Yeah.
So you're kind of confused by the point of it, but...
Yeah, it's pretty much the exact same story as the original movie. I think Sarah Butler, who's a star... And it replacing Camille Keaton's role as the author.
Which I'm going to be honest, and I've said this, I thought Camille Keaton was actually a lot more attractive in the original than she is in this.
I don't agree with you on that.
Really?
So anyway, she's going to work on her new book in this cabin, basically in the middle of the woods. Not too many people around the area or anything like that. And on her way there, she goes to a gas station and has a little altercation with some of the local workers there and stuff like that. And that all, you know, leads up to ultimately, like, the guys just decide to go and pretty much rape her. I mean, that's it. There's nothing else really to it than that.
They're just bored hillbillies. And you ever notice this, too? I was talking to Jessica about this. You notice all the movies where somebody gets raped like that, it's always hillbillies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have.
Like, it's never anybody in the city or anything like that. It's always just a bunch of fucking hillbillies that end up raping somebody.
Yeah. People must think hillbillies are really horny.
That's all we do is we sit around like,
woo! Been over there, bitch! Fuck! Yeah! Shit!
It's like, and in the movie, they're all sitting out and, like, drinking beer and talking about having sex and wanting to rape people. I don't know. That's just not been my experience. I don't know anybody that...
Yeah, well, ever since I've moved down here, the only thing I ever see is people sitting on their porch drinking beer talking about raping people.
Like, it's funny because people like that really don't exist. Like, if you're going to rape somebody, that's a very personal decision. Like, you don't have, like, a group of people.
That's what I was telling him. Like, how can you have a group of maybe five or six people just decide
just
to
don't.
Go in
really.
And... rape somebody. This one was a little bit different. They had brought a new guy in. They had brought a cop in.
Yeah, the sheriff.
The sheriff was brought into it. And he's not related to any of these boys.
No,
or anything. And he just decides to, like, he wants to join in on it, too. Like, it's just so weird.
I thought for sure that, like, he would be the dad of one of them.
It's like,
yeah, that would be
this
the...
town was everything, everybody's
well, that's
reproduced
the problem,
by rape.
Like, to me, was like, okay, it seemed like these guys at the gas station, they were embarrassed. One of them was embarrassed by this girl. They're like, we're going to teach this bitch a lesson, this city girl and all this stuff. And then, like, she gets away and, you know, she gets in contact with the sheriff. And then when the sheriff comes back and, like, if the big unveil is the sheriff is part of it as well. Like, it almost seemed like from that point on that those guys have done that over and over and over again.
Yeah.
But it doesn't, the beginning of it doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think they could have improved the writing a little bit better. Cause the leader was the sheriff in that, but he wasn't the one that really thought of the idea all along.
Yeah. And the other odd part of it is up to, after that point when all the rape takes place, which it is a very brutal sequences of like how they do it, but it's nowhere near as hard to watch as the original, because the original, I would say it takes about 30 minutes altogether for the whole rape sequence, and this one's probably about 10 or something. It's like they don't dwell on that aspect of it nearly as much.
They did sort of introduce anal rape though, which they didn't talk about in the original one,
true.
Which is a little bit more hardcore.
They didn't really focus on the rape part as much, and they also didn't focus on the revenge part on it as much either.
Well, that's the part where I think it gets stupid.
Because it kind of gets stupid. Well, right after.
I was actually pretty intrigued by the movie at the beginning up to that point.
After they raped her, yeah.
And then it's like she leaves for a month. Which
yeah,
that doesn't make any goddamn sense. Like, she just disappeared for a month.
Like, what was she doing? Where was she at?
She was planning all of her little game. Yeah, Jigsaw.
I mean,
she was watching all the Saw movies.
Where was she at? She's not a fucking survivalist or anything. What was she doing? She's just some girl. She's
living. But the one thing that I never did get, though, is, like, in the original movie, they rate Camille Keaton's character, you know, and just sort of was like, oh, it's all good now. Have a nice day.
Well, no, in the original, which I thought was a better idea than this, they have the retarded guy go back in and kill her, but he doesn't have the balls to do it, so he backs out, and, like, they all think she's dead.
Well, yeah, but she goes back and, like, in the one scene where she's actually cutting the guy's wang dang off or whatever, I don't know. Maybe I need to rewatch that movie again.
Well, eventually they find out that he didn't do it.
Yeah, but the guy seemed really intrigued by fucking her again or something.
Yeah, that is bizarre. But in this one, after all that takes place, she's gone for a month. There's one guy that videotapes everything, and she starts sending the videotapes around to all the different members and stuff. And then they all get, like, super paranoid that she's back, and she starts to take her revenge, except... Instead of, which is a lot more realistic, like in the original film, she just meets up with them, tries to seduce them and things like that, and then gets them into, like, certain positions and just kills them in different ways. In this one, she's become, like, a fucking master of torture devices.
Thugonomics.
Yeah, exactly.
It just, none of it really made sense. I think we all come to the same conclusion that it was... very much like Saw. Some of the situations...
It turns into Saw.
And it just didn't make any sense, the way she rigged things up. If she was gone for a month, she could have been at least a little bit more creative in it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this has nothing to do with people being raped or anything like that. It's just going... If it's going to be a torture revenge movie, then they could have...
They
made
wanted
it
to,
a little bit more interesting.
They did want to market it to the Saw audience.
Yeah,
though,
they definitely.
Like to me,
you
I mean, that's why. But the other thing that was kind of strange is they did kind of keep the original cover, which the original cover doesn't really make sense in this movie at all. I mean, does she ever go around with a knife at all? I don't think she does.
Is that even a knife?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. I don't think she does use a knife in this.
No, she doesn't.
She uses everything
and
else.
She also never wore underwear. Like that.
No.
It doesn't matter.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, it's just an iconic cover, really. But, how do you describe the end of the film, really? It kind of takes away from the film itself because you're just like, this is a little silly. It just gets a little silly at the end.
Yeah, and they have, like, anal sound effects, too.
Yeah.
Oh!
On the bright
note, I will say this though, like, I thought that Sarah Butler, like, did a really, the best performance she did in the movie was, like, right after she got raped, where she was, like, twitching really bad and stuff like that.
Yeah, that was.
I thought
cool.
that she did a really good job
yeah,
in
sure.
that. I thought that was believable.
And then I thought the sheriff did a pretty good job too, just being like a
complete douche,
complete asshole, redneck character kind of guy. And you'll notice that it also has Rodney Eastman in it. Like, and it's very hard to tell who he is, but he's the bearded guy in the film that is the, like, throwing matches and shit at her. And he's probably best known for being in Nightmare on Elm Street 3 and 4 as the guy that never talks throughout the,
yeah.
the
but
film.
But he just, for some reason, 20 years later, yeah. he showed up in something else. I've never seen him in anything before. Still.
He wasn't that bad in it either. He was actually pretty good.
And the boy who was playing the retarded guy.
Yeah, he's been in a bunch of stuff.
Yeah. Noticed that in the original that the boy was more slow. And in this one, as Wes would say, he went full on retard.
He's just kind of a little...
Well, they had two dumbasses in this one. The camera fucker yeah. was kind of an idiot, too.
But in this one, you're kind of like, does he even really know what the hell he's doing? In a way.
There is a scene in this that's pretty funny, though, where she cuts a guy's dick off and tries to feed him his own dick.
Yeah. That's kind of hard to watch.
Yeah. And, we, and people.
That's the best part.
Yeah. And people think we may giving this away, but, you know.
There's not a whole lot to give away.
It's
really.
Pretty much, yeah. It's a remake. Like, there's nothing. The only big difference that they changed in this, they added a new character. And she was like a wild wilderness woman for a month or a couple weeks.
I just didn't think it was as realistic or as, I don't know what the word is I'm looking for, as the first one, where you actually felt like that was happening in a way. And in this one, you're just like, there's no way. This is all too fucking stupid and cliched and all that, those traps and all that stuff. In the first one, she's just like, gets them around each other and then fucking kills them. Mm-hmm. Like, just.
Well, and they were adding something to this, too, with the camera, where the guy was filming with a camcorder, and they were using that footage as well throughout it, giving it sort of like a handheld look throughout some of the movie, too. I actually think that had they done the whole movie like that, it might have been more interesting to see, you know, completely change it up a little bit.
I just ultimately think that the way they did the deaths was never going to work. It's just not. It's not logical, and it's not even feasible, and you're just watching it, and you realize that it's ripping off Saw, and it just takes away from the whole rest of the movie.
Yeah. But, I mean, I didn't hate it. I was entertained throughout most of it. But, again, like, it's nothing like, you know, there's a reason nobody's really been talking about this movie that much. There's nothing big.
It's not a horrible movie. I mean, it is actually okay, but it's not anywhere near as impacting as the first I Spit on Your Grave.
And I don't think, I don't think it was nearly as brutal as far as the, like, there were a few scenes in I Spit on Your Grave that I'll never forget, and I haven't even watched that movie that much, you know.
Yeah.
But in this one, like, it's mainly special effects stuff, and it looks more like, just some special effects work, mm-hmm. you know.
And just silly shit, too, like the guys with the hook eyeballs. In his eyes.
Mm-hmm.
It just didn't look real, and I didn't think the movie looked that great either. Like, I didn't know what you thought. It's just one of those movies that looks like it's really whitewashed all the way through.
I don't know.
Too high contrast.
But you decide for yourself, though, if you want to put up the effort to.
I'd say at least rent it. I mean, it's something to watch if you want something new to watch.
And there will be some people that love stuff like the deaths in Hatchet 2 that will just the creativeness of the death scenes and like that like Saw and stuff, they'll just get off on a movie like this, I'd say.
Yep, so that was I Spit on Your Grave. The unrated version. Some special features on this include audio commentary with the director and the producer. The Revenge of Jennifer Hills, remaking a cult icon, teaser trailer, theatrical trailers. Radio spot, deleted scenes, and they have it on Blu-ray disc and DVD.
Check it out.
Baker Bay has it out, so
yay.
Check it out. And that is it for this week's show, Uncle Bill. Are you excited?
I'm excited as hell.
Appreciate everybody listening in.
Thank you.
And I hope Jesco's fish makes it.
So do I.
We'll have to do CPR on it.
I hear that old fish. I'm sorry I've abandoned y'all weekend.
But until next week, I am the Creepy Kentuckian.
I'm Uncle Bill.
I'm Jessica.
And you've been listening to the most hated, racist, homophobic, unprofessional horror radio show. We ain't got no respect at all.
For nothing.
You know, Elmo hates us.
That's
We're DeadPets.com.